If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Anyway, this is Super Dave on The All Show on 88.9 Radio Free Pasadena. And before... So anyways, coming up, we got some Pennywise and some Beastie Boys. But first, these commercials.
Is that guy sleeping right there?
Well, I think he's just taking a little nap.
Damn, is it Christmas already that we need sweaters and it's wintertime? So anyways...
Are there other black nerds or is it just you and Urkel?
Just remember that this thing isn't as black as it appeared.
Black people are very gifted in what we call worship and celebration. A lot of us like to dance. If you go to a black church, you see people jumping up and down because they really get into it.
I'm only saying this because I care about your image. The funny that you think you are making is not the funny that is being communicated to us.
Emergency. Batman speaking. Warning all of you to brace yourselves for big news.
My balls are no longer proportionate to my wang.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Smoke weed!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Roll another one. Just like the other one. This one seems to be a problem.
And now,
marijuana is a memory loss drug, so maybe you just don't remember.
I would remember.
Well, how could you if it just erased your memory?
That's not how it works.
Now, how do you know how it works?
Back it off, okay? I'm interviewing you.
No, you said that I'd be conducting the interview when I walked in here. Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Our feature presentation.
That was maybe one of the best episodes of The Office ever.
I know, I love that.
Dwight Schrute finds a joint in the parking lot and starts an investigation. I love that show. Morning, everybody. It's Kevin Abicho. It's 5:33, and it's Friday, the 26th of January. That means you've only got, like, a month for Christmas shopping left.
That's it. Oh, Kevin.
A month.
Practically?
Practically. Mm. Almost.
Yep.
Can I play you the best song ever?
Sure.
Well, let me rephrase that. It's the best song ever by somebody who's really, really stupid.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the category.
Okay.
Read the Bible, you'll be sure to enter heaven. There's no back door. Righteous man, get on your knees. There lies no virtue inside of me. Lord, you are my shield. Stay me through the fight. Shelter from the urges. And help me see the light.
Sing it if you know it.
You filthy sinners should just let me be. Cause Jesus, my Savior's the only man for me. God hates a fag.
What? What? Hey, what?
God hates a fag.
What?
God hates a fag.
That went south quick.
Your faggy hates you too.
Wow.
Is this TRL yesterday? You were watching that? What happened there? Well, I mean, people who literally believe what the Bible says, that they believe that homosexuality is condemned by God, right? I mean, well, most people just pick and choose what they decide they're going to believe in the Bible, and they ignore that part.
I would imagine that's true, but I would also imagine that the ultra-conservative people who believe every word is true in the Bible 99% of them would not be that ridiculously cruel about it. And by the way, all the double entendres, if you're listening to it as it goes, there's no back door.
Yeah.
Jesus is the only man for me. This is clearly a guy who's allegedly way gay and just doesn't want to be.
Totally freaked out about
He's
it.
He's totally freaked yeah. out. He's trying desperately to purge it from his system
Isn't
somehow.
Isn't that the case like 90% of the time?
Where most of the hate comes from? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, Reverend
self-hate.
Ted Haggard. Let's think about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That guy, he's the best.
So anyway, there's a good song for
oh
you to start out
this
morning. Wow, way to start us off on a nice, warm, fuzzy note, Kevin. That's terrific.
Listen, I love Dumb because, well, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what.
Makes you look better.
Right, exactly. Anybody have anything before we go through the show today?
Well, just we're already late. I mean, we probably have this is easily the biggest show of 2007, maybe the biggest show of the last few years. It's just, I don't know how we're going to squeeze it all in our paltry 5 hours. I really don't.
Well, let's not oversell it.
I'm just saying, look how much stuff we have to
we
do.
We do have a lot, but we it do. Is still, you know, the Kevin and Bean show. So
yeah, I know.
Let's not make it sound like it's too good.
Go.
On this morning's show, we're going to talk to Ed Begley Jr.
That's how I'm talking about.
That's how big this show is. How many other shows are booking Ed Begley Jr.? None! Or probably a lot of them.
Ed has something. There's something about him that is so likable and so you can't take your eyes off of him and you can't get your head around the life that he lives. He really is, you know, he's the anti-Hollywood star. I think that's why I admire him so much. He actually is a, you know, very successful and well-regarded actor, yet doesn't seem to care about any of that. All yeah. he cares about is his goddamn electric car.
Yeah, this is, for people who don't recognize the name Ed Begley Jr., he used to do a lot more roles. He's doing, what is he Veronica
does.
Mars now?
Yeah, he's the dean of Hearst College on Veronica Mars that Veronica goes to, right. But he's you know, St. Elsewhere was probably his biggest role. But what other stuff
was
has
like
he been
in?
6 Feet Under.
Wasn't
he? He was on 6 Feet Under
for quite
Under a while.
He was on. Yeah,
true.
He's the one who dated the mom of the family.
Right.
Yeah.
But he has been talking about his goddamn electric car for 25 years now.
He's very passionate.
He was electric car in it when electric car in it wasn't cool.
That's true.
That's that dude. So apparently there's a new show on that features he and his wife, and his wife is not as on board with his over the top, you know, actions.
Conservation.
Yeah,
it's not just his electric car. I mean, he's the guy who's out there with the solar panels. You know, he has to clean the solar panels on the roof a few times a year because that's how they get their electricity. You know,
tell them about the toast. This is the one for me. This is the one that just solidified cuckoo.
And this is why we love him, because when he goes to make his toast in the morning, he generates the electricity necessary to brown the bread by jumping onto a bicycle out on his porch and just rides until he gets enough power to make toast.
See, now at that point, you're just, I mean,
and his
really.
Wife's awesome because she says, look, you can do whatever you want, Ed. I'm going out to buy me a muffin.
And then she goes.
It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, how much electricity is he really saving by...
I don't understand that either because he
has toast?
Solar panels. That's the point of those.
He wants to do his part. He wants to save anything.
He's doing
he can.
His part and four more people, and he needs to stop
I know.
It. He needs
well,
to cut back.
He has these solar ovens that he bought through the mail that mm-hmm. you put in your backyard, and then they heat up the food, but there's only room in each of them for, like, one pan.
Right.
So he had to buy more than one so he could actually make a meal.
So he's got, like, three or four of them
yeah.
out there?
Jeez. So
he collects rainwater because, you know, and it's smart. I mean, look how much water just gets wasted because it rolls off your roof. Why use the hose to get water to water your plants if you can collect rainwater to water your plants with? I mean, he just does little things like that that just get under his wife's skin because she just doesn't want to live in, you know, thinking like that.
Can I make a suggestion? If it's raining, it's watering your plants.
You right. He's not talking about watering them during the rain. He's talking about later on.
I got you.
When
all
it's
right.
not
Rather, why
raining,
waste water?
Kevin.
Right.
Well, so... Look, I know it's politically correct and everything that, you know, more gas mileage, we need to stop relying on. But he's gone so far over the top, we got to bring him back. We got to. I mean, somebody's got to say, hey, young man, stop that.
Yeah, that's going
to
work.
You don't need to pedal a bike to get toast. But anyway, he's coming into the studio today. That should be fun, as well as his wife. Sarah Silverman is on the show today.
Yes.
Yay.
She has a new show on Comedy Central. And it debuts next week, and I've seen a couple episodes of it. It's very funny.
Oh, good.
Very funny. She's got an odd sense of humor. And it's biting, and it's sometimes gross, and most of the time you can't believe it's coming out of a woman that looks beautiful. You know, that kind of
stuff. With a sweet little voice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a really good show. And
loves her bodily functions, doesn't she?
She does.
She's a big fan of the farting and the snot and the poop and the vagina and all of it.
She's going to end up with Jimmy, for God's sake.
Yeah, she's Jimmy's girlfriend. Who else would be Jimmy's girlfriend, right. For God's sakes? So anyway, we have her on the program today. We're going to talk to Jeremy Piven. He's in the new movie Smoking Aces, which comes out today.
I love the Piv.
The Piv's going to be on the show.
Great.
Are we going to hug it out, bitch? Do we know?
I hope not.
Okay.
But we can ask him, I'm sure. We have the K-Rock World Tour 2007 Destination Number 4 grand prize drawing at 7:15. And that's a trip for two to the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Sydney, Australia.
Damn.
That's not bad, right?
Yeah.
That's coming up. And, of course, from the number one movie of the last 2 weeks... Ladies and gentlemen.
What the hell are they doing?
The stomp in the yard. Where are you from?
Where are you from? Columbus Short, where are you from? He plays DJ on Stomp the Yard, yes. And we're going to have him in the studio today.
Yay!
I was thinking about this yesterday. I want to start a stomping team at K-Rock so we can go to Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
Right, of course you do.
He's our ringer.
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, he won't stand out for the rest of the K-Rock DJs.
Because
no one will be able to tell he's the ringer.
Because he doesn't step. He battles.
Sure.
And he led his team to the Nationals. Who better to lead the K-Rock team to the Nationals?
Well, that may have just been a movie, first of all. He may not really be able to do that.
No. Oh, you didn't see the movie, my friend.
Yeah, he did his own stunts.
Okay.
DJ can flat out step.
Yep.
I haven't seen Stomp the Yard, and I know that makes me a bad person and an unqualified American, but is he really the same guy that plays Darius on Studio 60, that just super, just quiet guy on Studio 60? He's the same guy who's out there stepping
in
Stomp the Yard?
I watched Studio 60 last night, and for the life of me, I couldn't put the two together.
I can't, I don't know.
Alex says they're the same guy, and yeah. I just can't get my head around that.
We'll have to ask him. Yeah. What the hell? He's also the guy who was dating Britney Spears for a bit.
No kidding.
Yes. I guess he choreographed her In the Zone tour or something, and they were linked together in the tabloids, yeah.
See, he really can dance.
Yeah. The article that I was reading on him says that they spent one night together in bed, but there was somebody else in the room, and they insinuated it was her mom, so nothing happened. They just slept.
Really?
It was the strangest story I've ever read, but we'll have to talk to him about that.
He probably nailed the mom, too, then.
Did them both, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, that's not enough. We got the movie beat because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
So that's your chance to find out exactly what all the new movies are in the theaters. Bean has a surprise guest coming up at the 6 o'clock hour.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to check in with Harvey Levin in about a half hour, find out what's going on in the world of showbiz.
Okay.
And one of the best interviews you've ever heard with our Vice President Dick Cheney, who is no fan of CNN's, and they're no fan of his. And it is frosty. I am telling you, it is really uncomfortable to see CNN's Wolf Blitzer interviewing Vice President Dick Cheney. It's hilarious.
Yeah. I heard more of that yesterday, and Wolf Blitzer is dumb. Because if you're going to ask about his gay daughter, the Vice President's,
mm-hmm.
you save that question till the end. You don't ask it early on.
He actually did.
He did at the end? Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that. Okay. Because that did not make him happy
It was after, hey, we're already out of time, but I just have to ask. But it already was going poorly. I mean, the interview was off the rails almost from the minute they sat down. It was hilarious.
Well, he's not charming.
Dick Cheney?
Dick Cheney.
He does not suffer fools gladly either.
No.
Well, and I'm sad that it was Wolf Blitzer, because I don't think his interviews are that good, and I don't think he's that hard-hitting. And if you're going to get someone like that who's going to be an ass anyway, you may as well try to pin him to the wall, and I don't think he does that.
Back him into a corner? You don't think so?
No, I don't. I don't think he's that good.
Here's his theme song. Sing it if you know it.
Ralph Garman is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat 2. Good morning, Ralph.
Bad news on movie sets this week.
Uh-oh.
On Wednesday, Nicole Kidman had an accident while filming her latest film, The Invasion, in downtown Los Angeles. The actress was filming a scene in which she was apparently driving a Jaguar, which was hooked up to what they call a camera rig. You know, they have a truck that is towing the car and
right.
shooting it from behind the truck, so it looks as if the person's actually driving. And they whipped around a corner, and someone lost control of the vehicle, slammed into a light pole in a trash can.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
She was rushed to Cedars-Sinai's medical center, but she was released after 2 hours. Apparently, everything checked out. She was wearing her seatbelt, as was her 10-year-old co-star, Jackson Bond. And apparently, she's fine. She went back to shooting after a long break later in that same evening. So, apparently, she's okay, but everybody was understandably shaken after the event. The saddest part is Keith Urban, her husband, was driving. He was loaded.
Oh, that's so sad. He's got out of rehab.
Drunken movie accident.
Oh.
I love that Nicole Kidman, by the way, who's a, you know, an Oscar winner and can do any movie she wants, is doing a zombie film. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
She's known for her good choices in movies.
Yeah, she sure is. Zombies are coming.
It's on a plastic nose. She'll be set. Win another Oscar. Bruce Willis also had an accident this Wednesday on his set of his new movie, Live Free or Die Harder.
Really?
Yeah, the latest.
Is that a sequel to the
latest Die Hard movie? Yeah.
That's a dumb name.
Live Free or Die Hard, I'm sorry, is the name of the movie. He was, is that better?
It's
better.
Not much, no.
He was working Wednesday morning, and apparently he was kicked in the forehead by a stuntman during a fight scene, which is bad. He was briefly hospitalized as well. Insiders say there was a left gash. Excuse me, he was left with a gash above his right eye, and other than that, he was fine. He went back to work, too. But, you know, in a Die Hard movie, that's cool, because you want to look all beat up.
Yeah.
He looks best when he's all cut up and bruised and stuff. So
don't they normally fake those fights?
Not anymore. For women. They fake them for women. Speaking of women, another source is telling us that Lindsay Lohan was forced to check into rehab in order to save her career.
Is that why she's in and out so much?
This source tells Us Weekly magazine that it was actually an insurance issue. She had been so publicly chastised for unprofessional behavior while filming the film Georgia Rule last summer that as a result, producers of her current film, I Know Who Killed Me, had to pay an exorbitant insurance premium to employ her.
No kidding.
Then she started pulling the same stunt on this film. She was missing days in December. They had to shut down production because of her emergency appendectomy. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing air quotes now. You can't see me, but I'm doing it. So they said, look, you get into rehab so we can clean up your image so you're employable or else you may not be able to work because of the high insurance costs.
Did they treat in any way the
fire crotch?
Oh.
I say it's disgusting. Go back to your cheap motel. You fire crotch. A stinky beaver.
Apparently, they couldn't do anything to help that, but they did give her a pair of panties with a sprinkler system in it. So in case there's any emergencies, you can just
cool things down.
Douse the flames. I didn't know this, but the film, I Know Who Killed Me, she plays a stripper in it.
Well, okay. Oh. She's a little thin, but okay.
Who suffers from dual personalities after a brutal kidnapping.
Well, that's an upper.
So, good times.
Comedy for the whole family.
Meryl Streep's been forced to scrap plans to attend the SAG Awards this Sunday because she has a date with Prince Charles and Al Gore.
Wow, party.
She was supposed to be there. Of course, she is nominated for playing Miranda Priestley in The Devil Wears Prada, but she instead will be hosting the 10th annual benefit for the Harvard Medical School's Center for Health and the Global Environment. Hmm. President Al Gore will be there, and she will present the center's Global Citizen Award to the Prince of Wales, Prince Charles.
Vice President.
I'm sorry.
Former Vice President.
Former Vice President, right.
Just Al Gore. You know Al Gore.
I know, but you said President.
He's Al Gore.
Yeah, all right.
He's being optimistic.
Well, being realistic until they took, you know, the whole court
Al
thing.
Gore and Prince Charles. Woo! Woo!
For Prince of Wales' outstanding commitment to environmental stewardship, he's getting that award, so she will not be attending, and I'm guessing that means she'll win.
Party
seems to work out that way.
Go off.
And here's encouraging news. If, like me, you're a huge fan of Sean Connery, he may reprise his role as Indiana Jones' father in the fourth installment of the film franchise.
Thought he quit. He hated Hollywood. He's never going to do it again.
He retired from making movies. However, Ford and Spielberg have been talking with him, and he enjoyed working with them and enjoyed the role so much. He said if the script is good, he'd be happy to return and play the part of Indiana Jones' dad again.
That would be great.
With a little more insurance that film may be actually more enjoyable than it potentially could be. Oddly enough, he is now currently younger than Harrison Ford is, who's playing Indiana Jones. I don't know what happened, but they passed each other at some point.
Is that right?
Yeah, Connery kind of lingered around 70, and then Harrison Ford put on the passing gear and just went through, and now he's 82.
So. You know, in a fight, I would put my money on Sean Connery between those two.
Absolutely.
No question.
Yeah. He's just an angry old Scot. And this is disturbing news. David Beckham and his wife, Victoria Posh Spice Beckham, are reportedly considering an offer to star in their own reality TV show on the U.S.
Oh, sure.
Fox Network has offered them a deal where they will be sort of like the Osbournes. It'll follow them around and document their experiences as they move to the United States and adjust to their life here. You know how difficult it could be for a multimillionaire to adjust to life in a new country. So I think that would be fascinating.
Why
television.
Would they do this? I mean, obviously it's not for the money.
Celebrity.
And it's not for the fame. They, yeah. They're very famous.
Well, they're hugely, you know, monstrously famous in Europe, but not so much here.
Exactly, Lisa. You know them, and you may think they're famous, but in reality, they're... recognizability in the United States isn't nearly as big as we might think.
He's a soccer superstar, for those of you that don't recognize the name. And in Britain, all the tabloids
he's
on the cover all the time.
Yeah.
One of those.
So this would certainly increase their visibility here in the States, and they would hope for a huge reaction like the Osbournes got when they did their show and give them a higher profile. And so when he gets out of sport, he can go and be a movie star or wherever the hell he wants to be. So
that's good, because I've been scouring the TV listings, and I just can't find a reality show.
Especially with celebrities being themselves, being followed by cameras.
It doesn't exist.
It's a fascinating new idea.
I think make them live in Ed Begley's house. That's the reality show I want to see.
And speaking of Sean Connery, they released a British poll of the greatest action stars of all time. Best action movie characters and stars of all time.
Right.
And Sean ended up in the top five. His portrayal as James Bond made him third best action hero of all time.
Can I guess?
Sure.
That comedian, Mr. Bean?
Mr. Bean, yes.
No.
Greatest action hero ever.
Okay.
Number one was Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones. Greatest action character of all time in motion pictures. Number two, Schwarzenegger's Terminator.
Sure.
Three, as I mentioned, was Sean Connery's Bond. Fourth position was occupied by Bruce Willis as John McClane in the Die Hard series.
Sure. Yeah.
And fifth was Christopher Reeve's Superman. Harrison Ford also had sixth place. He had sixth and first for Han Solo as in Star Wars. Sigourney Weaver, the only female in the top ten, for her performance as Ripley in the Alien movies. She looked the best in a wife beater, too.
Yeah.
Better than Bruce Willis.
That's correct.
Celebrity birthdays today. Paul Newman, one of the true greats. I'll watch him in freaking anything. He had a miniseries last year called Empire Falls on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
oh, yeah.
Was that good. 82 years old today. David Strathairn. Very talented actor. You may have seen him most recently in Good Night and Good Luck with George Clooney. He's 58 years old today. Eddie Van Halen. We were talking about him yesterday, going back on tour with Diamond David Lee Roth.
Sure.
Van Halen's back together again. Eddie Van Halen is 52 years old.
Really?
What? Get out of town. That can't be right.
He looks 92.
That's
he does.
True. Yes, he has
his
had a hard
life. His face shows every drug he's ever taken.
Comedian Ellen DeGeneres is 49 years old today. Drummer Chris Hess from Hoobastank is 33. But the reason we celebrate today, the reason we join hands and thank the Lord Jesus for another day. Andrew Ridgely from Wham.
Come on.
The other half of Wham.
Come on.
He's the non-George
Michael. The lesser
Michael.
Half of Wham is 44 years old today. And I used to feel bad for him, but all things considered, I've never heard him about getting arrested for wanking some guy up in a, in a park bathroom. They've never found him slumped over the wheel of his car in the middle of an intersection, passed out from doing too much pot.
They may have. They just didn't care because he's
that's
Andrew
true,
Ridgely.
But, you know, all things considered,
sure.
If he saved his money, he's probably better off right
that's
now.
That's true.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Time for the Kevin and Bean mystery guest this morning. Now, you guys don't know about this.
Right.
But do you remember the song we used to play here on K-Rock on our show a lot called If I Was Gay? You remember that by the Friendly
Indians? Oh, yeah.
Love that song. Got to know some of the guys in the band, including a young man named Steve. And then he called us up, sometime after we played that. And he said, hey, guys, remember me? I was in Friendly Indians. Well, if I remember correctly, he was like working at a gift store or something like that. In his spare time, he was a screenwriter. And he wrote the movie Big Daddy for Adam Sandler.
He did?
That's the one of our listeners, by the way. You always think about our listeners being these stoners. We got people out there actually doing stuff. And Steve emailed me this weekend. It's something I wanted to bring up on the show. And he's back on the phone with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Steve.
How's it going?
Hey, thanks for joining us. Did I have that right? Weren't you like you had some retail job or something when you were working, hard at night and during breaks to write Big Daddy, right?
I was actually working in the biggest gift shop in the world, Disneyland, down in Anaheim.
And what? Just sitting in the back, taking a break, writing a movie?
I was working the Tiki Room, and I wrote the script for Big Daddy, and we went out with it, and it sold in 2 days. year and a half later, the movie was made. We were going to the premiere, and this whole entertainment industry, totally easy. I don't know what these people are talking about.
how do you just, I know this is what we're going to talk about, but like that's a big deal to have Adam Sandler pick your script to make your movie. I mean, was it just, you just blindly sent it out to everybody, and he's one of the people that came back and said, yeah, I like it, I want to make it?
Well, I got an agent. I think I'm one of these people who has this ridiculous good luck all throughout his life.
Right.
And it was right after Wedding Singer was about to come out. So they bought the script, and it was the least important script buy of the year. You know, they just bought it for the old president of the studio. He was setting up a production company. They just bought it to appease him.
But to you, it's like, I sold a script.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. For me, it was like, are you kidding? I kept my job, which is funny. I kept my job. So I would actually be sneaking away from my job to go have meetings, about whether it was Chris Farley or who they wanted to put in the movie.
You people show yourselves around the tiki room. I'll be right back.
Exactly, yeah. All right, so after the movie you got made, I imagine you made some dough on that. And then did you start dedicating yourself to writing full time?
Well, of course, yeah. So then you can make a really good living. You can make a really good living just doing rewrites. And I do about a script a year. I'm not a very ambitious person.
Right. So.
Tell us, the email you sent to me this week is about a new show that you created that's on TV, right?
Yeah. So I thought, well, shoot, if movies are that easy, why don't I try TV?
Oh my God!
So I ended up I pitched a couple like half hour shows, and I didn't like it so much because it's it was a little bit soulless,
right?
So, and I'd always wanted to do a detective show. My dad was a cop in LAPD for 26 years. I'd never done anything with police.
Right.
So I always had this idea for this guy who was who was pretending to be a psychic, but really his father had wanted him to be a cop like my dad did from a very young age. And he just had these incredible powers of observation. And but the police weren't going to hire him.
Is this Psych? And, the name of the show is Psych?
And the name of the show is Psych.
That's your show?
That's my show.
I've heard of that.
God. I've watched
this is
that.
This is on the USA Network, and it comes right on after Monk, so obviously they believe in it. And so you created this show and have been writing this show, and now it's on the air, and it just came back for, just came back for a new season?
They split, in cable, they split the seasons in half. So, we showed 8 episodes, and then we're off for 5 months.
I see.
And now we're back.
Okay,
and
so you're back on.
Picked up for a second season, which we start production on. We start writing on Monday.
Wow.
How about that? Now, the reason you thought of me to email this week about Psych is that it airs tonight on the USA Channel at 10 o'clock right after Monk. What's the plot line on tonight's episode, Steve?
Well, it's about time that Bean inspired an episode of television.
Oh, he could inspire an entire series.
And we were in the middle of the year last year, and you guys were on, and you were having the Clyde Tombaugh discussion, of course.
Oh, Jesus.
And
yeah.
And I thought, here's a guy who discovered a planet. For God's sake.
Not a planet.
A stamp,
not right? A planet.
So, and oh, yes. And so I thought, well, that's a really fantastic, sort of arena for, someone, a discovery like that would be a fantastic arena for a murder. So inspired by you guys being so unfair to Bean, I started writing an episode. So I have an entire episode that takes place inside an observatory and space center.
I see. And the people get so sick of hearing him talk about it, they kill him? Is that what you're saying?
So, Steve, so what happens? A guy discovers a planet or something, and then somebody else decides to kill him to take the credit for it, right?
Well, there's two partners that are working.
Oh, I see.
Really, I'm totally giving away most of the ending, but really, if you've seen our show is really, it's about the journey. It's really fun. We've had a murder in a spelling bee. We've had a murder at a Civil War reenactment at Comic-Con. So, we like to, among the other things, it's not just about this guy pretending to be a psychic. Our show is essentially about fun at all costs.
So somebody discovers a planet, somebody else kills him to take the glory.
Yes, exactly.
I like it.
That's awesome. Now, that is the episode is called From the Earth to the Starbucks,
From
and
the
again,
Earth
the TV...
To- Yes.
The TV show we're talking about is called Psych, and it airs on the USA channel, which is on 10 o'clock for cable. If you got DirecTV, it's 7 o'clock, right after the Monk TV show. Now, are you hard at work on an episode about the post office, or are you going to work the Wreck of the Emma Fitzgerald in? What's that? What else can I do for you, Steve?
7-Eleven? I'm thinking, actually, as a radio host who gets killed by his two partners.
Yeah. I like it.
Perfect.
I like it.
I bet you do.
So it mirrors reality. Good.
Well, we're always so happy to see one of our Stoner K-Rock listeners actually do something with his life. And there's so many people out there, Steve, who are just begging to get into show business, trying to figure out how to do it. And you're a perfect example of a guy who, you know, who just went out and did it, just worked hard and did it. We're real, we're happy for you, man.
And you want to make it one step worse? The theme song to Psych is performed by the Friendly Indians.
Is that
how
right?
That?
Wow. I was just going to suggest, if you're that, if it was that easy to write a movie script and then a TV show, you should get in a band.
That'd be cool. And he's already got one. Exactly. Oh. Mm-hmm. It's nice that you're throwing your bandmates a bone, man. Nice that you're keeping them in mind for the
yeah,
TV
absolutely.
Show. All right, Steve. Hey, man. Thanks for the email. Thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show. Good luck with Psych, dude. We'll check it out.
Thank you guys so much for having me on.
You bet.
I really appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
You bet. Bye-bye, man.
Bye.
Maybe I'm a geek, but I got really excited when I saw that Vice President Dick Cheney was going to be interviewed on the Wolf Blitzer CNN show, The Situation Room, earlier this week.
Can we vote?
No, you don't have to vote.
Geek, yes.
The vice president does not often give interviews, and I knew that it was going to be special. And before we bring him on and hear some clips, do we have the Dick Cheney theme song, please?
Can you find it real quick?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I just assumed that we'd have that standing by.
Did you? You assumed that?
Oh, man.
What do you base that on?
I thought Mike wasn't new.
Yeah, well, Mike will always be new. Here's the theme song, ladies and gentlemen.
Dick Cheney.
Good morning, Dick.
Mr. Vice President, thank you for being on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. How are you? Okay. All right. So you're on. Well, I wanted to get some comments about how you thought the interview with Wolf Blitzer on CNN went the other night.
Jeez, what just happened?
Just shot my television.
Oh man.
Okay.
You didn't like that
CNN was on.
You didn't like the way it went.
Shotgun was a little cranky. Here's just a taste of the show, Mr. Vice President.
Do you think Hillary Clinton would make a good president?
No, I don't.
Why?
Because she's a Democrat.
That's a thoughtful answer.
There's no Democrat. I mean, you think back to, you know, John F. Kennedy and FDR and Harry Truman. I mean, there have been Democrats who have been considered good presidents. You don't think it's possible in 2008 for that to be the case, Mr. Vice President?
No. What part of my answer confused you?
All right, listen, if you were...
When I said, no, she's a Democrat, what led you to believe there was some vagary in that answer?
We were just thinking that it seemed a little rude, and maybe now, in retrospect, you would have figured out a nicer way to say it. Okay.
Wow. Okay. So the speculation is, if it's not going to be Hillary Clinton, who is going to win is what Wolf wants to know.
Do you think she will be president, then?
I don't.
Who do you think will be?
I'm not going to speculate.
It won't be you.
It won't be me.
John McCain?
I'm not going to speculate.
Why won't you run for president, Mr. Vice President?
Because I have a bad ticker.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a bad heart.
And if I die in office.
Yeah.
Then some douchebag will be president.
Well, you're the vice president right now. Does that make you a douchebag?
No, no.
Oh.
If I die, I said.
Right.
What's wrong with you two?
I'm saying if you die, then the vice president would take over.
Right, and odds are he'd be a douchebag.
Okay, all right.
All right, so.
Maybe you should run.
What are you shooting, sir?
My shotgun.
I know that.
Wow.
What are you shooting at?
Today?
Nothing.
All right.
Wolf Blitzer brings up your friend John McCain, fellow Republican, in a statement that he made recently for your comment.
He said the other day, he said, the president listened too much to the vice president. Of course, the president bears the ultimate responsibility, but he was very badly served by both the vice president and, most of all, the secretary of defense. That was John McCain.
So?
You want to react?
Well, I just disagree with him.
So?
God.
He asked worse questions than you two.
Well, that's a pretty decent question.
Oh, is it?
Well, yeah, of
what
course.
Is your reaction to somebody from your own party saying that you have badly advised the commander-in-chief?
Listen.
Yeah.
I will not speculate as to who will be president.
Right.
I will only speculate as to who won't be president. I don't know why I make a difference there, but I do.
Okay. All right. And the final clip, sir, and this is where things got very frosty, is... What are you shooting at now?
Just a preemptive shot.
Okay.
Okay. Your lesbian daughter and her life partner.
Oh, yeah.
I should really bring this up. Yeah.
Easy.
Go ahead.
Tread lightly.
Bring it on.
Mary is pregnant, I guess, by some miracle, and is getting ready to have a baby. And there are people, you know, people who support the Republican Party who are against that. And I think that's what Wolf is getting at here. And I think you can tell from the interview clip, you were not happy about the question.
Mary Cheney's pregnancy raises the question of what's best for children. Just because it's possible to conceive a child outside of the relationship of a married mother and father doesn't mean it's best for the child. Do you want to respond to that?
No, I don't.
She's obviously a good daughter.
I'm delighted. I'm about to have a sixth grandchild, Wolf. Obviously think the world of both my daughters and all of my grandchildren. And I think, frankly, you're out of line with that question.
Uh-oh. I think all of us appreciate
it. I think you're
your
out
daughter.
Of line.
No, we like your daughters. Believe me, I'm very, very sympathetic to Liz and to Mary. I like them both. That was just a question that's come up, and it's a responsible, fair question.
Right? I just fundamentally disagree with your
question. I want to congratulate you on having another grandchild.
Yeah, sure you do, Wolf.
Yeah,
oh,
sure.
Wow, did he back down?
You don't really like talking about Mary.
Run, Wolf, run.
Mr. Vice President, you must be a crappy grandfather.
Why do you say that?
Well, you're a little grouchy and you're a little trigger happy. That's all.
Are you saying you think I shoot my grandchildren?
I'm saying you would be a bad grandpa.
Well, I just fundamentally disagree with that perspective.
Sure you do.
I think you're frankly out of line for saying that.
Well, being at krock.com is how you can get a hold of me.
Well, let's go hunting sometime.
Mr. Vice President.
What the hell are they doing?
They're stomping the yard. Where are you from?
You know, Kevin brought up an excellent point a moment ago, Ralph, off the air before you came in. We didn't even know the yard needed stomping until that movie came out, and now we recognize how wrong we were.
Sometimes we're so short-sighted.
You two are cards.
How do we do it, you ask?
Oh, I hope you get your act back together and go on the road again.
Columbus,
funny
short
stuff.
Star of Stop the Yard in the studios of the world-famous K-Rock coming up after the news. First, Ralph is here with the showbiz beat.
He really said he didn't know the yard even needed stomping?
Yeah.
Oh, stop. Oh, I'm getting a stitch. Oh. Congratulations. The Miss American finals are in Vegas on Monday. We finally get to know who's our Miss America. I can't wait.
Because, oh, wait, you're just joking.
Oh, wait, I'm not going to be watching
at all.
Contestants will be judged for poise, grace, charm, and intellect, and then they'll select the one with the biggest boobs.
Right. Yay!
Speaking of boobs, Mina Suvari of American Beauty fame. Remember when she was in that movie American Beauty with Kevin Spacey?
Yeah.
And
yes.
She was predicted to have a career path that was going to go off the charts.
Yep.
Well, she's not working so much these days, but she is having lots of fun. There are photos in the London Sun tabloid of her on vacation in Miami Beach, where for no apparent good reason, she decided to take her bikini top off right there on the beach to the light of many of the men who were sitting around her.
It is a topless beach. That happens quite a bit there.
It sure is.
And that's all good.
And you can see the photos.
Where?
You go to thesun.co.uk. You can see Mina Suvari's boobies. Boys will be boys. As will the guys in Supernova, Rockstar Supernova.
Yeah.
They were in Vegas over the week, apparently, and they caused some mayhem. They went to the Hard Rock Hotel and Casinos Club, Pangea, and took over the place. Tommy apparently took over the DJ booth, while the majority of the women there ended up flashing their cans trying to get VIP access to hang with the band. That's when Dave Navarro disappeared with a go-go dancer for an hour. No one knows where they were. However, they finally left the club around 6 a.m., and the waitress was very happy. Reportedly, they left a $3,000 tip for her behind.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
Being a rock star just rules.
No kidding.
Julia Roberts is having a baby boy, according to Star Magazine. The expectant mom is due with her third child on June 22nd. So twins Phineas and Hazel will have a baby brother.
Phineas.
Congratulations to them. How many people watched the second week of American Idol's Bad Auditions?
I'm sure everyone.
Lots. Tuesday's Memphis show had an average of 32 million viewers tuning in. Wednesday night show, filmed in New York City, had an average of 33 million people watching.
Wow.
It's a bit down from the first week's premiere of nearly 37 million people, but not by much.
It's still way, 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 way above any other show.
Oh, yeah. Monster numbers. And while I'm on the topic of American Idol, you ever wonder what happened to Justin Guarini?
Nope.
No?
No interest whatsoever. He was the first season runner-up.
from American Idol. I remember he did that spectacular movie with Kelly Clarkson.
Yes.
Remember that? Kelly loves Justin or Justin loves Kelly.
From Justin to Kelly, yeah.
That's right, and Bean knows it exactly.
Of course he does.
He's not watching Jump In. He's busy getting Justin to Kelly on the other TV on a loop.
I have the DVD, actually, so.
Yeah, of course. He had a fight with the American Idol producers, wanted out of his contract, wanted to do his own thing, wanted to be a superstar in his own right. Well, let's see if that happens. He's just been signed to co-host the TV Guide Channel's Idol Tonight pre-show, along with second season finalist Kimberly Caldwell. So they'll be co-hosting that show together.
They're that's going to be good.
Remember her.
Basic cable talk show about American Idol before it airs.
That's going to be.
That's where he's at. That's how he rolls.
It's funny because a lot of
that's the yard he's stomping, to put it in your language.
It seems like a lot of the top five every year kind of move on. You don't have to win. You can still become.
Usually the second place runner-ups have even better careers than the winners. Not in Justin Guarini's case.
No.
Maybe leaving that management company was not the best idea for him.
Maybe not.
But he still got the sideshow bob hair, so that's all that matters. He's got that going on. And I don't know, it's reunion mania lately. I hadn't heard about this, but apparently the Police have announced they're doing a reunion tour.
Yes, they have.
This caught me by surprise.
Yeah.
It's gearing up for this summer, and apparently they're already rehearsing in Vancouver. They're putting it together. So rumor has it, the reason they're producing so early, even though the tour won't start until this summer, is that Sting, Andy Summers, and Stuart Copeland will be opening the Grammy Awards telecast on February 11th. Which, of course, is at the Staples Center here in Los Angeles.
So, kind of thing they like to pull off.
They do like to have something special happen on the Grammys, so we may get to see the Police together.
I remember when they got back together for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction last year. And at the time, everybody was speculating, okay, this is it. Now that they're talking and they're willing to get on a stage and play together, maybe, you know, the seeds are being sown for a reunion. Because that they could sell out any stadium in the world, the Police.
Absolutely. But since we have an inside man at the Grammys... Kevin.
What you're talking about.
Kevin, who will be doing the announcing again this year at the Grammys. So maybe you had some inside scoop on what's going to be happening.
I wrote to him and said, have you guys come to your senses yet, or are you still on the hooscow? You want me to... Oh, yeah, we want you to do it. What? No idea what they're thinking.
What does on the hooscow mean?
Nah. Drink it. Whatever.
Usually you're in the hooscow.
In the hooscow.
Prison.
I was thinking
hooscow's in jail.
See, they didn't know what you meant.
Maybe that's what it was.
Confused them.
No, we're not in prison. Why is he asking us that?
Maybe I'm not doing it.
Yeah, maybe.
Kevin, has anyone come to you and said, okay, today we're going to teach you how to pronounce the words the Police? I think that's what Ralph is asking, is if there's been a clue.
No,
they have not.
Okay.
Randy Summers.
That's Andy Summers.
Do we have that tape? Do we have that tape of Kevin?
I think Bean does.
In rehearsals for the Grammys last year?
That's the best.
I think I do.
Do you have a little of that?
Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and Robert Rudolph.
Randolph?
Yes, sure enough it is.
I love it. Randolph.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, John Perry, and Robert Randolph.
Joe Perry.
What did I say, John? What the hell?
So then I tried it again.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and Robert Rudolph.
Randolph.
Shit.
It doesn't sound real.
I know. That's why I had him put it on the CD for me. I said, the guys will never believe this. You have to put this on the CD.
This is why they have rehearsals.
Kevin, what's wrong with you?
They may have chosen the wrong guy.
Oh, I can see why they ask you back.
Just for the comedy.
Just for their entertainment. Imagine how boring it must be to put the Grammys on. They go, dude, you have to get that Kevin guy back to us. That was so funny last year. Yeah, let's tell him we want him back. It'll be great.
They probably pipe the rehearsals and stuff into all of the rooms and everybody stops what they're doing.
Stang! Randy Summers!
Am I the only one not excited about a Police reunion?
Yes.
I'm the only one?
Yes, you are.
I need to hear Roxanne again.
Dude,
like, I need a whole
so many
in the
great
head.
Songs. So many great songs, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I know, they're but awesome. I've heard them all a million times. I'm out. No interest.
Well, you're once again the right guy for the Grammys.
Yep.
I'm the wrong guy.
Today's celebrity birthday.
I think I'm always the wrong guy.
Today's celebrity birthday is Paul Newman, legendary film star, 82 years old today. David Strathairn, very talented actor, 58 years old today. Eddie Van Halen, who's doing his own reunion tour with David Lee Roth. He is 52 today. Ellen DeGeneres turns 49. And Chris Hess, drummer for Hoobastank, turns 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Talk about the surprise hit of 2007. Talk about the number one movie in America for the last 2 weeks. Kevin has talked about nothing since he first saw the trailer last year. And the star of Stomp the Yard in theaters now, Columbus Short, in the studios of the world-famous K-Rockaway.
Hey.
How are you, man?
Man, early, early. It's early. I still have my morning voice.
Yes, you do.
It sounds sexy on the radio, doesn't it?
We were talking about this just off the air, just ahead of when you came in, Mr. Short. Even people who loved this movie, who were making it, couldn't have anticipated it was going to now be sitting at over $40 million at the box office. I mean, this thing is a smash hit. Tell me you're surprised.
I am surprised, but you know what? With that level of surprise, I still have a level of, I knew it because of the fact that when we were filming this thing, man, it was magical out there. You know what I mean? You know when you're doing something magical. You know when it feels, wow.
Right.
There's some type of synergy going on here that I haven't experienced before. So I feel like for it to translate and cross over and the audience receive that is just golden.
I got to tell you, it's one of those movies, and I hope you don't take offense at this, but when I first saw the promo for it.
Of course.
I laughed.
Of course.
I was like, what on God's green earth is this? Then I saw it again, and I thought, now I have to go. It looks
absolutely
bad. And you end up going, wow, look at the dancing. Look at that. Look at that. It's quite a turnaround.
It is. I think a lot of people were pleasantly and some, you know, surprisingly surprised.
I don't think a lot of us have ever heard of Stomping the Yard.
I hadn't.
No. I hadn't ever before.
No.
Had you?
This is the thing. It's funny. I think a majority of America was ignorant to it.
Does
black,
it exist?
Black, white, indifferent. Yeah, it's very real. When I went to Atlanta, when I got to the HBCU, the Clark Morehouse, Spelman, Morris Brown, they're all in the same, like, quad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're very serious. On the yard, there's different, the alphas have, like, you know, set up pillars and areas, like, on the yard, in the plaza of these colleges. And it's serious, man. They're very serious.
Explain
about
stomping
it.
To people who haven't seen it.
Stepping is, you know, it was a direct derivative from ancient Africa, boot dancing. Came over here in, like, 1906. And then in turn, that's when the fraternities adopted this dance ritual method to rival their opposing.
It's very, very carefully choreographed. Everybody's doing pretty much the exact same thing.
It's a rhythmic. It's more musicality than it is, you know, dancing, because you have to be, you know, you're making music rhythmic. You're the rhythmic personification of music with your body.
Now, if you're to believe the movie, these people practice 24/7 for 366 days a year. I mean, it is like all day,
do, right?
Every day.
Well, see, fraternities. I wanted to clear that up. Fraternities do a lot more than step. That's like the backdrop. What the majority of the things they do is they do a lot of community service.
Oh, they do.
They do a lot of stuff with the youth.
Not
a lot
according
of stuff
to
the
movie, dude.
In the movie, they didn't show that. I mean,
it's
I wish we would have delved into that
more. And
then
after the stepping, they step, and then when they're done stepping because they're tired, they step some more. That's what it is in the movie.
Yeah. I wish we would have delved a little bit more into it. And I think that's what some of the controversy was, you know, when people were feeling like we were going to, the representation of the fraternal order was going to be represented correctly. And I think that we should have delved into that a little bit more. But hey, it was a film. We had two hours.
And it worked.
And your character, DJ, is a troubled kid who basically grows up, learns to be a man because of the relationships that he forms in this fraternity and the teamwork that he is taught and that sort of thing, right?
Correct.
Here's a clip from the movie where DJ's trying to do his own thing. And that doesn't fly with the guys that are already there.
The steps you taught us is play, man. You can't expect us to beat the Muse with that, and you know it. She's trying to give us something fresh.
We doing a step show? Or we doing a rap video?
It's a new day, man.
Only reason you holding on to all that talk about tradition is because you cannot keep up with the present.
I make you bet. You go and you get your line brothers together, and I'll get my guys, and we'll throw down.
You're on.
And boy, did they throw down.
At least we didn't say, you know, bring it on.
Columbus, you were on Broadway in Stomp, which is a huge hit, right?
Yeah, I did Stomp. I was the original San Francisco cast. I was the first San Francisco company, and then I was taken out of that cast and put on the tour.
You left high school to do that?
Yeah, for 3.5 months early. Yeah, man.
No kidding.
3.5 months before you were going to graduate, you said, I'm going to go Stomp.
Well, I drove up to San Francisco on a whim. I read a Backstage West at my girlfriend at the time's house, jumped in the car, drove to San Francisco that weekend, auditioned, had to go back the next weekend for the callbacks. And
did you spend your life dancing in one way or another?
No, I didn't dance, man. I didn't. I was just talking to
you. Wait a minute. Hold it. You never danced? You just went up and said, I want to be in Stop.
I was in the musical theater department at my high school.
Right.
And they laughed at me because I wasn't a dancer. I was very much not well-versed in the choreography,
right.
Picking up choreography. So when I went to Stomp, I was a drummer and I'm an actor. That's what it was. And so the drumming percussionist background helped me get the show. After I came back from the show, I wasn't getting any work theatrically as an actor. So I was like, you know, I gotta try to figure this thing out.
Right.
So I became a closet dancer, if you will.
Dance in the closet.
Yeah, and started really learning, like really taking it serious, trying to learn my body, learn my line movements, and learning how to pick up routines and things like that. And it kind of paid off.
And you got served. One of my other favorite movies.
Oh man!
Oh, that movie ruled.
I was
you're just mad because you got served. And then served. That was awesome.
So I want to understand because we always marvel at people who come in who actually have talent and ambition because those are two things that we just are sorely lacking. So you didn't really know how to dance and you went up there and you got in Stomp and ended up basically on Broadway. And then after that, then you said, "Hey, I learned a little something about dancing. Now I'm going to really work hard." And the next thing you know, you're a professional choreographer. You're doing the Britney tour and Ashanti and Brandy. I mean, you're out there now teaching people how to do what you didn't know how to do a year ago.
I'm OCD when it comes. I get like addicted to things really quickly and really. So if it's like working out, I want to be the best. I've always set out to be. If I'm going to do something, I want to be the best at it.
We're only addicted to food. We don't. We're not addicted to dancing.
We're good at that though.
Working or anything else. We have absolutely no talent.
How come we never get opportunities like that? You want to know what it is, guys? We're not talented. That's right, we're not talented. See, we're not the artistic side,
right.
We're the thinking side. Yeah, we're too smart to be talented.
Exactly, that's what it is. That's what we like to tell ourselves.
We have to take a break. Actor, dancer, choreographer, Columbus Short is in the studio. Of course, Stomp the Art and Theater is everywhere. And I did not know until yesterday, Columbus, that you're Darius on Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
I am Darius.
How can you be everything?
I don't know.
Are you also playing first base for the Dodgers this year? What's your
next
deal?
Next season, I just closed my deal.
He's never played baseball before, but he's going to try out.
So we need to talk about that and more. And, of course, the grand prize drawing to send someone to Sydney to see the Chili Peppers. That's all coming up next right here on the World Famous K. Right now, though, in the studio, Columbus Short is here from America's number one film, Stomp the Art. And they're trying to tell us now that you're the dude from Studio 60, that you're Darius, the very soft-spoken young writer on Studio 60. But that's just an urban myth, right?
It's an urban myth. That's my twin brother, Christopher Short. I'm Darius, the timid, you know.
No.
Introvert.
You're not.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
I watch that show every week. And I saw, you know, your movie, and Stomp the Art, and you're not that guy. You can't be that guy.
Even the people on my
how
set.
How can you be that guy?
That's
even
not
the
acting,
people at Studio
it?
60 don't believe it. That. No one. I went back. They were like, nobody told us Darius was hot.
But what's so funny, though, is on that show, you are so introverted. You're so quiet. Yeah. You just kind of shuffle around and just kind of mumble. I mean, you barely speak up. And then I see you up on those, you know, commercials for Stomp the Art, and you're going off. It is hard to get our head around.
Yeah, man, that's how fabulous of an actor I am.
So Aaron Sorkin, the creator of great shows like Sports Night and The West Wing, and now he's got Studio 60 on NBC. He's one of those guys that is just, you know, people talk about it in hushed tones. He's so revered as being such a brilliant, brilliant writer. Do you ever have any kind of contact with him?
Every
on the
single
set,
day. He's so
he's
involved.
There, huh?
We don't rehearse. We don't say a line without Aaron.
Really?
At first, yeah. Wow. And no, there's no ad-libbing. There's no improvisational.
If you try it, they'll just stop immediately?
They will stop. If you get the wrong, literally, Matthew tapes his dialogue to, you know, computer screens or whatever's in his hand. You know,
everybody,
because you have to stick to the verbiage.
Right.
You know, exactly. So, but it's great. It's great to be able to say I worked with Aaron.
If anybody's earned that right, it's him.
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron Sorkin is just a brilliant, brilliant
his
writer.
His dialogue is unbelievable. But, I mean, there are so many scenes where you have four or five people kind of talking at the same time. I would imagine there's tons of reshoots.
It's so music. It's kind of musical, whimsical, if you think about it. The way Aaron hears that. When you talk to Aaron, you can tell he's like, you can only talk to him in like 2-minute stints.
Well, yeah, welcome.
Because he's processing dialogue with, like, as he's talking to you. He loves the sound of people arguing and people bantering back and forth quickly. So the timing and the verbiage.
He catalogs it the way or
something? Yeah, it's weird, man. So all his exposition is very, you know, bantery.
There was one time he got, I think it was the Burbank Airport where he got caught with mushrooms. Remember that?
Yeah.
And we were saying, dude, if anybody deserves a pass, it's Aaron
Sorkin. Yeah, let him have him.
Wait,
seriously.
He really got caught?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, I think it was some weird story, like there were mushrooms hanging out of his bag or something, wasn't it? It was like some bizarre story. And we were saying, if that guy can write like that, let him have his mushrooms.
Whatever.
For God's sakes, whatever makes him do what he does. We love it.
Yeah, man.
You have to ask him about that. I'm sure he'll find that very funny.
Yeah, he gives me a hard time sometimes, so I'll put I'll put that in my back pocket.
There you go.
Well, Studio 60 is back. It had been gone, you know, for the holidays, but it just came back this week with an awesome episode this past Monday night. Of course, like so many of the shows now, you can go to the website or whatever and catch up if you've not yet seen it. And you're what, Monday nights at 10
o'clock?
10 o'clock,
NBC.
Yeah. And Stomp the Yard is in theaters now with our friend Columbus Short. Man, it's so, like I said before, we have so much admiration for a guy like you who can just work hard and pick stuff up and end up doing so well at it. We really, it's great to meet you, man.
Thank
We're big
man.
Fans.
Pleasure, you guys.
Yeah. Sucks to hear that talented. Thank you, Columbus. We appreciate it.
I saw that band right there, AFI, on Saturday Night Live. They were the musical guests a couple of weeks ago. They were fantastic, but they had some hat guy hosting it. I don't know who this guy was, but like out of nowhere, he shows up and starts hosting the show.
I enjoy the pan flute and the sounds that it makes, and anyone who doesn't enjoy it, I will kick in the face. I once made love to a porpoise. I was thrown out of SeaWorld.
Jeremy Piven on the line. Good morning, Jeremy.
How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Great to talk to you again, man. I was right about that. It was you and AFI that night on SNL, and they were unbelievable, right?
They were great. It was a really fun night. I, you know, growing up in Chicago and doing Second City and stuff, like, you know, it was our goal always to do SNL, so it was really fun.
But I'm sorry for not knowing this, but was it your first time hosting?
It was my first time, yeah.
And did it go kind of like you wanted?
You know, it's you always wonder what is it really like, and it was it's just kind of an incredible week. And I'd come off 2 weeks of promoting Smokin' Aces, so I went into it kind of completely exhausted, and it was just an amazing experience. It was just something I'll never forget. So it was great.
Yeah, even with all the stuff you do, you rarely are on a network across America live. I imagine that just adds just a whole other level of pressure to it.
No, it does, but, you know, my background, among other things, was sketch comedy, so I felt like I was kind of equipped to get in there and do it, and it's just an interesting process because you do dress, and you do the whole thing as if you're doing the show, and then they'll maybe cut as many as 5 sketches before you go to air. So you can kind of get attached to stuff, and then, you know, you just got to let it go and do your thing.
Wow.
Don't you throw your weight around? Don't you say, don't you know who I am? I like this sketch.
don't you know who I am? That doesn't, you know,
doesn't sound good.
Not the greatest thing in the world to say.
Okay.
No, it's like, you know, it's just an interesting dance that you do over there. That the opening monologue was kind of where you get to kind of do your thing, so that was really fun.
Right.
And the rest of it, you're diplomatic and you figure it out.
I got
that's
you.
Right. Don't You Know Who I Am is a lot more Ari Gold from Entourage than it is Jeremy Piven. That's for sure. Sunday, April 8th, Entourage returns on HBO, by the way. But Jeremy's on the line today because the movie we've been hearing so much about for so long, and what an incredible cast this has, comes out today. It's called Smokin' Aces. My friend Mr. Movie Phone emailed me this week, Jeremy, the guy who does the, you know, the movie phone stuff. And he said he went to see Smokin' Aces, and he said, it's like Guy Ritchie and Quentin Tarantino had a kid, and that kid had ADD. This is the movie that kid would make. How's that
awesome.
Sound? Well, yeah, I mean, it is like being shot out of a cannon. And the thing that Joe Carnahan, the writer and the director, does is he takes all these different tones. But the thing is, they're used very specifically. There's like a contract that's set up with the audience right away, like, this is going to be a really twisted ride.
Right.
And it's okay to laugh. So when you have these people that are hunting my character down to kind of kill him and extract his heart for the $1 million bounty, each character, they have their own kind of music, the way they're shot. So it's all put together really well. I didn't know if he'd be able to pull it off, but I'm really actually proud of this one. And it's kind of the best role I've ever had, just in terms of being allowed to really go to that place, because this guy's fallen from grace pretty hard.
When you first read this and you said, okay, I'm looking at the part of a sleazy magician, did that scare you off a little bit?
No, it was kind of like count me in, because it's like he's at this crossroads where he was a guy who had this amazing career, who was like Entertainer of the Year in Vegas, became so enamored with the mob that he went deep and they considered him a mascot when he considered himself a real player.
Right.
Brought everyone down, and now he's desperately trying to cling on to do a plea bargain and trying to hold on and has to possibly sell out all of his entourage. And it gets really, really dark. And the thing is, people think when the scripts that I get are mostly comedy, but I've been trained in a lot of different tones. And if you look at Entourage, it's not as if, you know, we're playing that for laughs. I'm playing this kind of very aggressive, quick twitch agent, you know, and I'm not winking at the camera. So it took a guy like Joe Carnahan to go, you know what? He said to me, and it was like, it's literally the words that every actor waits for his whole life. He said, you know, do you want to go deep and into this role? And I just, you know, it was a gift. It was a total gift, and I'm really proud of this one.
Usually, do you want to go deep is either in football or porn. Those are the only
I saw
worlds.
That in the Paris Hilton video, actually, that exact same quote. Hey, you, did I read something that you had to snort a lot of stuff on the set for this one, Jeremy?
Yeah, I didn't have to do anything, but I just, within these scenes, I just jumped in. And it's almost like, you know, when you do scenes when you're supposed to be eating, it always bothers me when they have like a fork full of food and they never quite eat it during the scene. They're
right. So you just went full blown blow?
Exactly. If my character has become this guy who's doing a great deal of blow and I'm in the middle of a scene, I have to snort it. So I snorted. I snorted more powdered vitamin C than any man in the
world. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Does it give you any kind of buzz? Do you feel like you're not going to get a cold for a day or something?
Yeah, I may have offended off a cold.
All right.
It's hard to say. But at a certain point, Joe noticed that I was snorting so much vitamin C that he literally put a camera up my nose, and there's this one shot that it's like you look at it, and Joe even said, this is a shot where underneath it should just say, I never want to be this high.
This is Jeremy Piven. We're talking about Smoking Aces. That opens up everywhere today. Of course, it's got an amazing cast, especially for a gangster movie. You got your Andy Garcia and your Ray Liotta, your Peter Berg, Ryan Reynolds in it. But everybody's, I'm sure, asking you, Alicia Keys, she's so beautiful. She's such a great singer, musician. How's she as an actress?
She's the thing about her and Common, who's a hip-hop star in his own right, is both of them write their own music, and they're really prolific, and they're artists, and they're performers. And so it wasn't that big of a leap, I don't think, for either one of them necessarily. And a guy like Carnahan knows how to utilize them. I'm actually really jealous and angry at both of them that they were this good. I mean, just because I can't put out an album, I'm not going to ever be a hip-hop star.
Well, have you tried?
It could happen.
Yeah, okay.
I could get together with Bruce Willis and we could do something. But Common, the thing about him is he's a guy who, I think rap stars get a bad name. This guy came in and worked so hard and was so respectful, didn't have an entourage, and just wanted to be a part of my process. And so we went around and we researched stuff together and we did our thing.
That's cool.
And I would start improvising with him, and then I would tell Joe to turn the camera over, and he would just roll into it effortlessly. And so it was a great process, and I had an amazing time, actually.
Well, that sounds great. I know you got to go. Smoking Aces is today in theaters, and it looks fantastic. Like Bean said, Andy Garcia and Ray Liotta and Common, Alicia Keys, Jason Bateman is in it, Matthew Fox, Wayne Mother Effin' Newton is even in it, people.
Come on.
And Jeremy Piven. And Jeremy, when Entourage comes back in April, we'd like to have you in the studio, if that's okay.
I would love it. That would be amazing.
Fantastic.
That'd be great.
All right. Thank you, man.
Take care, you guys.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Bye. Right now, Ralph is here with the show business. What's going on, Ralph?
Think Bagley will show up in an electric limo?
Yes.
Because, a lot of the guests that come to the Kevin and Bean Show are brought here either by their publicists or the companies or the production companies they're working for, and they'll spring for a car to pick them up at their house and bring them here so they don't have to drive.
It'll be a limo, but his limo driver will be pedaling a bike in the front. Pulling.
Like Columbus Short showed up. He was in a town car that obviously someone had provided for him from the production company. So I was wondering if, Home and Garden TV is going to get Ed Begley Jr. a limo. It's going to have to be a battery-powered one, right?
Yeah.
I think he's going to ride
golf
his bike.
It has to be like a golf cart.
He'll ride his bike, and his wife will be on the handlebars. Yep. That's how he's going to
be. Or running behind him.
Hurry up!
In a sidecar. Maybe he's a sidecar for his bike. I'll be interested to find out. Hey, tomorrow, what are you doing? You want to hang out and drink some beers and, bet on the horses?
You should. It's
drink
a good time.
Beer. It's going to be beautiful weather.
Yeah.
Sounds like a fun idea, don't it?
Yep.
Well, if you're not doing anything tomorrow, please join myself and Lightning and Kat Stryker, Super Steve, Psycho Mike, DJ Omar, and the ones and twos, our very own Lisa May.
Hey, this is Lisa May. I'll be there pounding some bruised.
We're all going to be out there at Santa Anita Racetrack. It is just east of Pasadena, located in Arcadia, California, just off the 210 freeway. There are going to be 10 live thoroughbred races that you can gamble on. Also, 20 different California microbreweries will be selling their wares there as well. Live music from Paperback Hero. And we're all going to be hanging out. The gates open at 10 o'clock. The first race is at 11:45. This is always one of our favorite events of the year. We do a couple of these every year. So this is the first one of the year. Come join us tomorrow. Yeah. $5 to get in. You can't beat it with a stick.
I'm dangerously dry. Not well, tomorrow.
Looks like she needs some alcohol.
Nicole Kidman was taken to a hospital Wednesday night after she was involved in an accident on the set of her latest film, The Invasion, in downtown Los Angeles. She was filming a scene in which she was driving a Jaguar, trying to escape some zombies who were hanging off the hood.
Awesome.
The vehicle is being towed by a camera rig, which is it's like a truck with a tow hitch behind it. And they shoot off the back of the truck. It makes it look like the actor in the car is actually driving the vehicle. They came around a corner, and the stunt guy who was operating the rig lost control. And her car hit a pole and knocked over a garbage can. She was in the car with her co-star, a 10-year-old boy named Jackson Bond. They were both wearing their seatbelts, however. They were taken to the hospital, and everybody's fine. So no worries there. But still, harrowing moments, on the set of The Invasion. Same thing happened to Bruce Willis on Wednesday. He was filming his latest Die Hard movie installment called Live Free or Die Hard, and he was kicked in the head by a stuntman. Reportedly, the stuntman had heard Bruce's music from the 80s and could not help himself.
Had to take it out on him.
He was taken to the hospital as well, just came away a little gash over his right eye, but apparently he's okay too. So it's a tough business, acting, man. You get your ass kicked.
Yeah. I guess.
Mary-Kate Olsen's people are slamming reports that she's relapsed in her battle with anorexia after an appearance at the Golden Globe Awards last week. The 20-year-old Gelfin was shown wearing a low-cut dress, which showed an alarmingly thin frame. She weighs 18 pounds now, I think.
Wow.
She does look the same from the front as from the back.
Apparently, her representative is saying, Mary-Kate has not lost weight. She's taking good care of herself.
She's putting it on like crazy.
In fact, she's fat. And she's way too fat, said her representative. No, she didn't say that. One of her people close to Mary-Kate said, it's because she's blonde now. The blonde hair she has makes her look skinny.
Oh, that's what it is. That's good news. I had no idea.
That makes all the sense in the world.
I know this is going to mean nothing to girls who look at those magazines and think they have to be that thin.
Yeah.
That's not attractive.
Not in the slightest.
Skinny? Not attractive. Yeah. There are no fat blondes.
You ever see a fat blonde girl? No. If you have blonde hair, you immediately look skinny.
That's the way it works. Yeah. You'd be 300 pounds, you got blonde hair? Tiny.
Today's celebrity birthday is actor Paul Newman, one of the truly great movie stars of all time. He's 82 years old today.
Is he still racing cars, Ralph?
I don't think he is anymore. I think he's retired from that at 82.
Racing wheelchairs.
His reflexes are not what they need to be when you're going around the track in a vehicle that heavy, that quickly. Actor David Strathairn is a very talented actor as well, 58 years old. You may have seen him in Good Night and Good Luck, where he played Edward R. Murrow. He was great in that movie. Eddie Van Halen. From Van Halen is 52 years old today. Comedian Ellen DeGeneres turns 49. And Andrew Ridgely from Wham!
Yes.
Is 44 years old today. Someone wake him up before he goes, will you?
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Oh.
I'm just saying. Someone should wake him up before he goes in the sheets. Because he's that old now. He's 44. Oh. He could, you know. You don't want that.
No.
Do you?
You don't want that.
I didn't
think so. Come on, Ralph. Oh, God.
Come on.
No.
Yeah.
No, just no.
If he went
Ralph,
in the cheat sheets.
Ralph,
what?
No.
What?
No. Ralph, no.
Sure. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Right now, it's time to find out what movies are in the theaters.
Roll sound. Ralph Garman's movie beat.
10 new movies this weekend in Southland Cineplexes. We're starting to slowly climb out of the black abyss that is movie time between New Year's and Oscars.
Yes.
Starting to be a few things on the horizon that seem to have some interest for somebody. Not me, of course, but somebody out there might want to see some of these. Seraphim Falls opens today. This is a movie about the Civil War. And it's about two army colonels who are feuding against each other, played by Liam Neeson and Pierce Brosnan. Nothing's more American than having two Irish guys play Civil War colonels.
Two very public Irish
what
guys.
What the hell? Are there no American actors left who can get work in this town? Anyway, you might want to check that out. Also opening up this weekend is Mafioso. It's the re-release of a 1962 Italian neorealist comedy about a factory foreman who returns to his Sicilian hometown with his family and finds himself being hired as a hitman by the local mafia. Okay. Very funny movie if you want to see something from 1962 in Italian. Just saying. It's an option. But let's talk about the big movie, shall we? The ones we're really interested in. Like the new Chevy Chase comedy, Funny Money.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Chevy Chase?
Chevy Chase plays a worker at a wax fruit factory who stumbles on a briefcase containing $5 million. That's funny.
This is a new film?
New film with Chevy Chase.
You know, I've been going to movies like crazy the last few weeks. I haven't seen a trailer on this.
No. Oh, Lisa. It's Funny Money.
You think they're going to put money into the trailer?
Starring Chevy Chase.
You guys remember the pitch we got for him?
Yeah, they were promoting this in conjunction with some timeshare property, I remember.
They said, we'll give you Chevy Chase, but you have to ask about a timeshare in Las Vegas. I swear to God, we said no on Chevy and no on the time.
The producer of the film may be the owners of the timeshares. I'm not sure. This may not be the highest budget comedy you'll see.
I got the impression this was like a re-release of a movie from 20 years ago or something. I didn't know this was a new Chevy Chase film. I am just shocked by this.
Well,
you'll have to go see it and tell us how it is.
Yeah, apparently so.
Don't be shocked. But I do have a clip here featuring Chevy Chase's character explaining to his wife all about this briefcase he's found with $5 million inside.
What's that?
What's it look like? It's money.
What is it?
It's $5 million. We just hit the Donald freaking Trump jackpot. He's fired.
He's fired. Oh, that Donald Trump is fired.
See, because Donald Trump is rich. Is that what you're saying?
He's so rich now, he can fire Donald Trump.
I see.
Wow. Chevy Chase is rich.
Did he not ruin his career with that talk show? Or even before? But the talk show for sure.
He used to be so funny.
Nail in the coffin.
He used to be so funny.
I know. I don't know what happened. Something bad.
But I'm guessing with the Donald Trump you're fired reference in that clip, it's not a film from 20 years ago. That's what I'm guessing.
That's a good point.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
It's product placement. That's what that is.
Also opening today is Blood and Chocolate. It's about a female werewolf. Or as Dave King Messick would say, a werewolf. Who falls in love with a comic book artist in Romania.
What?
That could happen.
Much to the displeasure of her werewolf pack leader, played by Olivier Martinez. In this scene, Olivia Martinez is telling the female werewolf, played by Agnes Bruckner, what the future will bring by her bad decisions.
Women in your family were legends in this city. Father should never have gone to America. But you know why we have survived here? It's because we stand together. A father thought of himself first.
Don't insult my family.
You have no family. You have heritage. If you are the one from the prophecy... Soon I will ask you to be my wife.
So then he asked her to marry him.
But she's already in love with the comic book artist. But it's a werewolf love triangle.
What does she do?
Oh, this is
another werewolf love triangle.
I'm so tired of the woofs. Catch and Release opens today, starring that adorable Jennifer Garner. She plays a young lady whose fiance passes away before she gets a chance to marry him, and it pretty much destroys her life. But with that, why is that funny to
you,
Psycho Mike?
He is inappropriate laugh guy.
He is.
Every time.
But she finds comfort in her circle of friends, including our own Kevin Smith, our pal Kevin Smith, acting in this film.
How about that?
And her fiancé's best friend, played by Timothy Olyphant, who I believe she later falls in love with in the movie.
Oh.
From what I can garner from the trailers.
Garner.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
How do you do it?
Here's a scene where two of her friends, including Kevin Smith, are talking about how to treat Jennifer Garner, who plays Gray in the movie. That's a confusing thing.
Yeah.
Or Jennifer Gray, and that'd be wrong. She's passed out. What are they going to do with her?
Are you serious? Did you not see the pills kick in? The only way she'd be more comfortable is you shot her with a trank gun.
All I know is she's not going to wake up in the morning with a neck crick.
What are you talking about, a neck crick? What are you, an osteopath? Oh, my God, you're actually picking her up. Dennis, you're scaring me, man. Put the woman down.
Get out of
here. No. I'm much stronger than you, and even I don't want to pick her up.
Come on, put her
in the bastard! She's out. This was totally her fault.
See, they drop her on the hardwood floor, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, that sounds funny to me.
I love Kevin Smith. He's a good guy. Coming up, Smoking Aces. We just talked to our boy, Jeremy Piven, who stars in the film as Buddy Israel, the man who's wanted by the mob. They want to put a hit out on him, but Andy Garcia gives two characters, played by Ray Liotta and Ryan Reynolds, the assignment of protecting Buddy in this film.
Don't form a witness against the mob. The
has been as crucial or as important as Buddy. Aces Israel is not only essential to our case, he is our case. And understand that if an attempt is made on his life, it'll be made by those of the strictest professional caliber. They are immoral, ruthless, and without restraint, and they must not succeed.
What accent is Andy Garcia doing there?
I don't know.
I can't tell.
What's going on
I didn't
there?
Even know that was him.
We have a protection we will have to give him.
Sort of a Romanian, Southern,
Asian.
Irish, French thing he's got working on there. Very unique characterization for
He's Andy great, Garcia. Though, isn't he? Usually?
Andy Garcia, yeah. But I don't know what the hell he's doing either. With that voice.
That movie looks good to me.
And lastly, Epic Movie opens today. This looks funny because it's every movie that is popular in one movie, and they make fun of it.
It's from two of the writers.
Two of the writers of Scary Movie. The other 200 took the week off this week and didn't write this one. But here's some clips from the trailer. You hear Pirates of the Caribbean and Harry Potter, and oh, it's very, very funny.
We are the Pirates of the Caribbean. We're the Pirates of the Caribbean.
My son, you are truly invincible.
God, you shot my guy! Why would you do that?
See, Superman and the Pirates of the Caribbean there.
Right.
This is the kind of movie that Kevin goes to and then says, look, I knew it was going to be bad, but
I just need
real
one
big
laugh.
Laughs.
I just need one laugh, and it's worth it for me. So I go and I get one laugh.
Some movies you can excuse because you know they're going to be crap. But if they make you laugh a couple times, yeah, you know, that's good.
What's making you laugh there? The hip-hop pirates?
That was funny.
Superman being shot in the eye and going, oh, you shot me in the eye?
That wasn't so funny. I'm going to go see Smokin' Aces first, but then if I have time.
Lord help us. Those are your choices this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
Cut, cut. That's a wrap.
That was The Movie Beat with Ralph Garman on K-Rock.
Sarah Silverman in the studios of K-Rock. You probably never thought this would happen to you, but you're opening for Ed Begley Jr. this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Sarah. Ed's going to be here at 9 o'clock this morning.
Honored.
You understand that to make toast, he pedals a bicycle. You understand that,
well,
right?
Well, let me explain something to you.
Okay.
I was in a two-part Star Trek Voyager with him in 1997.
No way!
And I was able to, where he kidnaps me. Mm-hmm. And I was able to witness a great thing, which was we were in the back of like a limousine and he's kidnapping me, but we were in between shots. So we were just sitting in the back of this prop limousine.
Right.
And he took out his cell phone, and I heard him say, "Hi, it's Ed. Could you do me a favor? Could you go in the garage and unplug the car?"
Not everybody gets to hear that.
And I felt so honored. I was like, that's an excellent nugget. He is a good guy.
He is crazy, though. He's crazy, though.
Crazy about
passionate.
The world.
Yeah, but he goes a little too far, don't you think? I mean, the guy pedals a bike to make toast. How much electricity are you saving with that? Toast. Come on. Isn't that a little extreme?
Well.
Say it.
Yes.
Thank you.
But if you're going to be famous and have weird affectations, at least let them be.
Be positive. That's true.
Green.
Sure. Yeah.
That's true. So Sarah Silverman is here. The Sarah Silverman Program is the name of the show that's coming on Comedy Central. It starts next Thursday, 1 week from yesterday.
That's right.
Next Thursday, 10:30, Comedy Central. And she plays a character named Sarah Silverman, from what I can tell.
Ooh, a stretch.
Yes.
I spent so much time with her.
Did you? Just to learn her mannerisms? And your sister is played by your real-life sister.
You know what? Everyone has their own real names, but we're not playing necessarily ourselves. But, you know, we just got lazy with the character names.
Said, I don't have any more energy to put into this, so I'm going to call myself Sarah Silverman.
Listen, I put my heart and soul into the dialogue, I don't know what other elements.
Cinematography.
Plot. I can't be naming characters, too.
Can I play the song that is on the first episode when we first meet you, we're introduced to you as a person on TV, the first song? Would you mind if I play that?
I sure wouldn't.
All right, here you go.
I always wake up with the morning sun. I always take my pills with herbal tea.
Nice.
I always never cry, and I've always wondered why. I always have to watch myself when I go pee. I really love my life, and I'll also tell you what.
If I find a stick, I'll put it in your mama's butt and pull it out and stick the duty in her eye.
Bring it down.
And pull it out and stick the duty in her eye.
Isn't that nice?
Wow.
That's beautiful. I saw this first episode, too, and again, it airs next Thursday night at 10:30 on Comedy Central, and I thought the show was hilarious. I really thought it was very funny. It reminded me mostly of, like, Pee-wee's Playhouse to me. I mean, that's the kind of vibe I got from it. I thought it was great.
Only way funnier.
But there's no hot chick in the world who is obsessed with body stuff as you are, with the farting and the pooping and the snotting. I mean, what's up with you? Where were you raised?
I think of myself as a cerebral comedian, but you know what? I like to reach people. I like to touch people.
Where they live.
And there is no... Let me just tell you. Duty jokes are like the sign language of comedy. It's international. It's an international language everyone
can. It goes across all lines. I like that. That's beautiful. I mean, it isn't true, but it sounds good.
Yeah. It did sound so good, though.
It sounded really, because you sounded like you were serious, and that's what sold it.
I don't know. It made me giggle.
All right, we need to take a break. Sarah Silverman is here. How come I can't say your name, do you think?
I don't know. What's nervous? That?
Sarah Silverman is here, the Sarah Silverman Program, Thursday, Comedy Central, and we will take a quick break and come right. Sarah Silverman is in the studio with us. We were trying to figure out a way to describe for you what her show is on Comedy Central, and she doesn't know. And Bean and I have watched the episodes, and I don't think we could do it.
But it's not hard to follow. It's just weird.
It is very weird. Here's what Entertainment Weekly says about the Sarah Silverman Program. This is in their review. The result is haphazard, amoral, ridiculous, wildly offensive, and, you know, totally hilarious.
Wow. All right.
That says everything you need to know.
That was bad right till that last second, wasn't it?
I know. Oof.
And it debuts this coming Thursday night on Comedy Central. You know, I didn't even realize this, Sarah. You have a lot of chicks who are into you. You attract a lot of the ladies who love ladies,
yes.
You know what I'm saying? Really? Do you have a big lesbian audience?
Oh,
What do you think ladies who love ladies meant?
Lesbians like me, but straight girls like me too.
Yeah. Okay. Our assistant producer Alex said I'd have to put her in my top five of chicks that I would like to have sex with, even though I'm not
a girl crush.
Yeah, I'm like,
I don't want to make anything tense between you two. I just, you know, that's one of the things that she brought up. That's why I think Bean was asking the question.
Oh, I love that.
Ladies
I'm
love
not
you.
A lesbian, but I like when lesbians like me.
Okay, good. Sure.
Sure. It's a well, compliment.
Because you're the type of girl that guys all love to hang out with, and you're also way hot. So I just wondered, I mean, I can't even imagine what kind of fan mail you must get. It must just run the gamut of just all kinds of people, right?
Can I tell you, I get a lot of fan mail from Germany.
Germany?
Hey!
Who are you waiting to?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, Ed Begley Jr.
Don't look.
I already saw.
It doesn't matter.
I saw.
Focus on me.
Okay.
Can I say
don't wave to someone in the other studio.
When I was driving here, can I tell a story? I don't know if when I was driving here, I was listening to the show and Jeremy Piven called in.
Right.
And I would like to say that I knew him many years ago. We were in a sitcom together, though I was fired right before we shot the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
But for those times that we were rehearsing, this was in 95,
right?
Maybe. And he was the first person I ever heard say too much information.
You mean like you were sharing too much and he said stop?
He's the first person I ever heard say too much information and don't go there.
Okay.
Oh, really?
And but back then, I had never heard it before. I was like, yeah, this guy's really cool.
You mean way back in 95?
I was really impressed.
So you thought he was coming up with the... Maybe he's the originator.
I had never heard it before, and I was like, this guy's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play three clips, and I think these three clips will give you a kind of a general feeling what Sarah Silverman's show is about.
Wow, thank you.
I picked three of them.
Three clips? That's a lot.
I hope that they kind of summarize what you want them to summarize. All right, here's clip number one.
Thank you. Thank you so much, old black woman puppy.
Okay, that's one. That's one. Okay, now here's the second clip of three.
The government's lying to you! Burn the White House!
Okay, that's two.
Okay.
By the way, all from the same show.
Are these... I was going to say, are these related in some way?
Same show.
Okay.
Yeah, and related. It's a half hour. It's not even. It's not like it's a
that's
half.
An amazing
it's not like
jump.
It's 40 minutes between. And then let's go to that one right there. No, let's go to that one right there.
Okay.
Nine. Yeah, that's even better. And this is kind of how she wraps up the show.
Also, I learned whether you're gay, bisexual, it doesn't matter, you know, because at the end of the day, they're both gross.
Okay, so that's those are the three clips.
Okay.
I hope you get from that a general feeling of the Sarah Silverman show. You may not, but I can tell you that I loved it and Bean loved it. So if you listen to our show, you should love it.
So that's between us, four thumbs up, Sarah. Seriously, very
thank
funny show.
You so
good work.
Much.
And three thumbs up for me, by the way.
Just nice.
You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Well, listen, Sarah Silverman program airs starting next Thursday, February 1st at 10:30 on Comedy Central. You have an appointment in the producer's office for a little making out with Alex, Sarah.
Oh, my God. You know what time saying? Is it? Am I late?
No, you're right on time.
She's waiting for you right now.
Right on time.
All right.
Enjoy
I'll
that.
See you later.
Enjoy that. Hey, you brought your guitar and didn't sing. Damn.
That's, I only brought it just in case.
You just bring it so people can see and go, musician.
Well, she plays the guitar. I really don't. I know
she
four
must
chords.
Be cool.
Thank you, Sarah, for coming in. We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, guys.
Bye now.
Hey, turn the lights down and turn the music down because Ed Begley Jr. is coming in after the news, and he'll complain if it's all going off too loud and too hot.
Oh, well, right. We're run by solar energy. A lot of people don't know that.
Okay. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Last one for the week, Friday morning. What do you got for us, Ralph?
Actually, what we do is we get lightning on a treadmill.
Right.
He's just running down the parking lot and keeps the whole place up and going.
Every time he stops, the electricity dips.
Yeah. So if you're listening to us on the internet and the internet feed goes out, right. Lightning fell. Fell off the treadmill. Tomorrow is K-Rock Day at Santa Anita Racetrack. If you have nothing to do tomorrow, now you do. We love to go out there and try the different microbreweries that show up. 20 different California breweries will be there with their beers. 10 live thoroughbred races also at the park. I'm going to be there along with Lisa May, Lightning, Cat, Striker, Super Steve, Psycho Mike, DJ Omar, and the Ones and Twos. Live music from a band called Paperback Hero. 10 races, as I mentioned, kick off at 11:45 a.m. The gates open at 10 a.m. It's only $5 to get in. You can't beat it. We always have a good time. So meet us in the infield at Santa Anita Park, which is in Arcadia, just east of Pasadena. You can take the 210 and the 10 freeway, get off of Santa Anita Avenue, and listen to Lightning's voice. That's how you know where we are. He's like, all right, who's got an expired driver's license for a keychain? I want the dirt.
Does a lot of that. Bring your plush.
Oh, it's so nice on a Friday to be able to send everybody off on a good note.
Nice positive
nice
story.
Nice positive note on the
everybody
weekend.
Everybody in a good mood.
This is going to put everybody in a good mood.
Excellent.
Just announced from the management of R. Kelly.
Yes.
This summer.
Yes.
Yes.
More chapters of Trapped in the Closet.
Oh. Yes.
Yay. He's going to have a CD that will be released in late May. And once that is released, he will start to release the continuing saga of Trapped in the Closet.
Oh.
Find out what happened to the little midget.
With the cherry pie and the guy with the gun, which is all of them.
Guy with the gun.
Cop.
Finally, we get to find out what happens to the our favorite characters from Trapped in the Closet, the continuing story.
Ralph, have you been hearing about, I guess they're springing up all over America, the Trapped in the Closet parties that they have,
yeah.
Where they show the videos
they
and put the words up on the screen. They're sing-alongs. Yeah, Trapped in the Closet sing-along.
Trapped in the Closet karaoke, basically, is what it is.
Sounds like
see,
fun.
People always ask me every day, you know, did this happen to me? Did this happen to me?
Yes, R. Kelly.
It didn't happen to me necessarily, no? But it's just something that happens in reality, in life. So I decided to take a few chapters out of life and write a story about it.
Couldn't be more excited.
Some of the best rhymes ever, you know.
Don't get me started on the rhymes. You want it?
Yeah, I
want
to give me a little rhyme.
Checks under the bed, then opens the dresser. He looks at the closet, I pull out my Beretta.
Gotta be honest with y'all, the Beretta, I really needed a rhyme word for dresser, you know, and Beretta just came out. But at the same time, it makes sense. That's the interesting thing about Trapped in the Closet.
Yeah.
When it's rhyming all the way through, if you notice. Some people don't even notice because they'd be so into the story that they don't really realize that there's rhyming all the way through this Trapped in the Closet.
Right.
And that's what makes it even more interesting, you know. And I don't even know how that happens, but it just comes off like
well,
that.
That's right.
It
just comes out.
I haven't realized it rhymed until he brought it up.
Dresser and Beretta?
Maybe that's why I didn't know it rhymed, because I heard Dresser and Beretta, and I said, well, that doesn't rhyme.
I got news for you. Those words don't rhyme.
Isn't that
that insane? Was that not crazy?
I don't think I'll ever forget us sitting in that hotel in Miami watching the MTV Video Music Awards all together when R. Kelly came out and started singing that song live on stage that night. And we just sat there and went, what are we looking at right now?
The funniest sketch they've ever done on this award show.
That was before we knew what it was. And we were just going, what's going on? He was singing all the parts back and forth to himself.
It was
the worst performance ever. But it introduced us to Trapped in the Closet.
He should do a one-man show.
Yes, he does. Absolutely. Parts,
shouldn't he? Well, Rosie O'Donnell's ready to move out on her own, according to Star Magazine. Rumor is she's going to leave The View when her contract is up in June and start her own talk show again.
Why did she quit or get fired the first time?
She quit. Oh, she quit. Quit. She retired.
So now she wants to do it again.
Well, apparently she's not happy sharing the spotlight with the other three women, and she wants to be able to talk all of the time and have only her viewpoint heard.
Yep, Rosie hates it if anyone else has to squeeze a word in edgewise.
Yes, she does. So we have that to look forward to. And Fox slammed the guys at YouTube with a subpoena yesterday. This is pretty interesting.
No kidding.
Apparently, YouTube had up the debut episode of 24 before it aired on the network.
Well, I can see why they'd be upset about it.
They don't mind, I guess, if you put it on afterwards. They could use the publicity, but they don't want a show, especially a show like 24, that has all those, you know, twists and turns.
Right.
In the plot line, and you need to follow along, and they want you to get caught up in the show. They don't want you viewing that on YouTube before they air it on Fox.
I can see that.
No.
So they slapped him with a subpoena, and they want to know who posted it. They want the identity of the person who posted that up there. So no word yet whether YouTube will acquiesce and give them that information or not. But they know so far the person's name is Echo Total, ECO Total, Echo Total. And he's also apparently posted 12 episodes of The Simpsons on the site as well.
That aren't out
yet?
Which
is another Fox show.
Oh.
No, just a regular episode.
Okay.
So they think maybe there's some sort of 20th Century Fox tie-in with this
guy. YouTube, for those of you that are wondering what's different, it got purchased by a reputable company, and now they have to comply
now they
with
have lawyers.
Laws
yeah,
and all
yeah.
that BS.
And lastly, it looks like Julia Roberts is going to be having a baby boy. According to Star Magazine, the expectant mom is due with her third child on June 22nd. And so her twins will have a baby brother. Phineas and Hazel are going to have a baby brother. With names like Phineas and Hazel, you can only imagine what the third baby is going to be called. Probably something like Latibius or something.
Latibius.
Or Spartacus. Or something very Roman. That's what I'm guessing. Today's celebrity birthdays. Andrew Ridgely, the talented half of Wham. The real brains behind Wham.
Sure.
George
so.
Michael got all the press, man, but Ridgely was the driver of that bus.
Well, you can tell that by who went on and established a solo career.
That's what I'm saying.
What did he do? Did he play guitar?
I don't know, Jiminy Glick. I'm not sure what he did.
He didn't really write the songs, if I recall correctly. What was Andrew Ridgely's? Was he the John Oates of that band? He just kind of stood around and looked good?
He played guitar and he shook his ass a little bit.
He was just a fluffer. Just a fluffer.
Andrew Ridgely's 44 years old today. Ellen DeGeneres turns 49. Eddie Van Halen, legendary guitarist. And he will be back on the road with the original lead singer, David Lee Roth. Van Halen's reuniting this summer to tour. He's 52 years old today. David Strathairn, who's a very talented actor. Most recently, you probably saw him in Good Night and Good Luck, the George Clooney film. He's 58 years old today. And actor Paul Newman turns 82 years old today. So go buy some salad dressing and some popcorn.
Okay.
That's what I suggest. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We've been looking forward to this one ever since we first saw the commercials for the TV show Living with Ed. It airs Sunday nights at 10 o'clock on the HGTV. The Ed is Ed Begley Jr., a man we've been making fun of for years on this show. And Rochelle married him. What is up with you?
Yeah, and who's laughing now?
Yeah, no kidding.
Exactly.
Ed, welcome.
I got lucky. I got a good mate here.
I didn't hear.
Yes, you did.
She didn't hear
turn
any
your
of that.
Volume up.
Volume.
You see, this is what I live with. There's a pot there. Turn
the
it up for God's sake.
I know.
How would you
all
know?
Right, start
follow
over
the
being,
wire.
And what did you say? You said something nice about me. I hope.
Yeah,
I did. I think you're so hot and seem so nice. I'm just wondering why you settled for Ed. What's the deal, Rochelle? What's going
on
here?
I'm here, and I'm hoping you're going to figure this one out for me too. Because
she's dating again.
Yeah,
I was hoping we're going to hook her up.
Yeah.
Now, for folks who haven't seen the show, the hook of the show and what's fascinating about being the fly on the wall in your home is that Ed is a well-known crazy conservationist. Ed is a guy who loves the earth, and God bless him for that. And Rochelle, you know, she's not out there, you know, burning down the Amazon or anything, but she's preferring, it seems like, to live a little more normal, traditional life where you waste a certain amount of energy. And Ed won't have any of that, and that's where the fun lies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've decided to make a meal out of the acrimony that is our marriage.
Because we're stuck, so we have to make
lemons. Yeah, we're kind of stuck with each other. We have a child.
We have to make lemonade.
Together.
All right,
let me ask you this question, because unfortunately I haven't seen an episode of this yet. I apologize.
Oh,
your luck will run out.
We'll do it for you right here.
But what I heard was that to make a piece of toast, you go outside and pedal a bike.
Yeah, there's a bicycle that's hooked up to the battery race. So what we do to demonstrate it, so something more active than watching us run the computer all day on that electricity, we decide to toast because that energy goes in the battery ray where the solar is stored. So rather than waste that energy, most life cycles are plugged in the wall, but they're plugged in the wrong way, Kevin. They're using power.
Ah. Well,
mine is plugged in the right way. It's making power into the battery ray. But if you don't have a solar battery ray, you could just get a 12-volt at Pep Boys and use that.
And it gets them out of the house and out of my hair.
How much energy is used by making toast?
1,500 to 1,700 watts, depending on the toaster, for about 2.5 minutes. So if you ride at 120 volts at 2 amps for 15 minutes, you've done enough work. You could either run a computer
or earn your toast.
Yeah, that's why I love Ed.
He is so sexy.
Beans on my team. Thank you. I'm moving up to Seattle.
But look, we were talking about you earlier with Sarah Silverman. She said if you're going to be extreme and kind of out there, this is a good angle to go in. You might as well be something positive. But really, riding a bike for toast.
Quite the contrary. I think the other way around. Why would you waste all the energy at these gyms or at anybody's home? One bike or 20 bikes at a gym. Why would you use that plugged in using power? You should be making power. Quite the contrary. I think it's foolish to waste that power.
Here's what I want to know. Rochelle, how long have you guys been married now?
Well, we've only been married about 6.5 years. We've been together 13 years. So
13 years?
You're coming up on 14.
Yeah.
So you were with him for almost 7 years before he asked.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Okay, I admit it.
And then you said yes.
She went into this eyes open.
There's a lot there, but we don't have all the much time.
So Ed was already a well-known TV and movie personality then when you guys got together, right?
Yes.
So you already knew what a crackpot he was before you ever went out on your first date,
yeah,
right?
Okay, you and all the other reviewers out there. Didn't you know who you married? Yes, I did.
There was no bait and switch from my side. From hers, total bait and switch.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
What
we're
was
going
the bait
together.
And switch?
Honey, finish the tofu. We're going to take the bus to the environmental event. The minute the ring went on the finger, Kevin, I'm going to stake in a limo ride. I'm going to stake in a limo ride now. And don't wait up. The girls and I go into Chippendales
if
afterwards.
If you use that Chippendales, does it exist?
Okay, Outback.
There's male strippers.
Outback.
It's not Outback. That's a steakhouse. But.
Okay, I don't know.
So one of the funny clips from one of the first couple of episodes, and tell me if this is just something you guys are made up, decided to pump up for television to be funny, or if this really happens. Rochelle, you were taking a shower. I think you guys were going to the Oscars that night. They were filming.
Yes.
And Ed is standing out in front of the bathroom with a stopwatch screaming at you about how long you're in the using the hot water.
Screaming
is
that
for
a
real?
Bit extreme.
No, he was screaming.
How long? What's the time limit? What can she do?
No, here's why I have a stopwatch. I've never before timed her shower, but someone was on the set with a stopwatch. Some production assistant had one. So finally, this is what I love about the show. It's like having a nanny camera. I can finally prove who's lying and who's not. She said, I don't take a 15 to 20. I don't take a 15 to 20 minute shower. You're lying. So finally I said, somebody give me a stopwatch. Let's see. Aha! Exhibit A.
How long
was
it?
Rolling? It was about 14 minutes when we finally stopped filming.
So what?
And the only reason I was loud, not screaming.
By the way, I'm with her, so what?
As I say in the show, there are a few things one must accomplish in a shower, you know, and for women it takes a little more time than the drip dry that you do.
That's fine. All I want to
what
do
you
is
want her to do a run through?
No, I wanted to do
turn
a nice,
on the shower and
do
run
a
in
luxurious 5 minute shower like me, 7 minutes, 8 minutes. But all I wanted to prove is that she said that I didn't take a 15 to 20 minute shower. I wanted to prove that she was lying.
I am guilty.
And then what I did was I'm into problem solving, not making problems. So, okay, you take the long shower, continue to take your long shower. Allow me to put rain barrels outside to collect the rainwater from the downspout so we can mitigate the shower water. She wouldn't let me do that, Kevin. No, I couldn't have the rain barrels. Why? Because they were ugly.
Well, they're really, really ugly.
I did throw a little bit of a tantrum. She did. I agree with you on that.
Thank you, Bean.
I don't think I could live one day with you, Ed. I don't think I could do it.
Dear diary.
I really don't.
It's not going well between Kevin and I. I hope today was the day.
It does seem, I haven't heard you say this, but I do get the impression that in your mind you're thinking, come on, Kevin. cash a little bit of the Veronica Mars money and let me take a goddamn shower, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's what I thought.
She takes her shower. I wanted to prove a point. She's a big Pinocchio. She's lying about all this stuff.
I've lied. I lied about everything. I'm not even Rochelle.
How is your marriage ever going
to
last?
I don't know. That's the fear with this. We thought after maybe a year of doing the show, it might lead to a breakup. And now we're kind of pulling for the first 13.
Yeah.
We're kind of hoping that we can end this nightmare now.
In fact, you're on the show. I see. Okay.
We have to take a break. Ed is here. His beautiful wife, Rochelle, who's way too good for him, is also here. They really are. I mean, this is the new odd couple for the 21st century. It's called Living with Ed, Sunday nights at 10 on HGTV. We got a lot more to talk about with the guys when we get back after this on K-Rock.
Bagley Jr. and his wife Rochelle is here. Living with Ed is the name of the show. And here's Ed talking about his modes of transportation.
In my transportation hierarchy, my favorite way to get around is walking, but sometimes that isn't quite enough. So bicycle transportation is a great way to go. You get exercise, it's quite economical, and it cuts down on congestion, cuts down on pollution in a city like LA. This is a great bike that also has an electric assist. So you can ride by pedaling, or you can ride with a little bit of help from the electric motor that is charged on the sun. I don't need a gym. The world is my gym.
Come on.
I don't need a gym. The world is my gym.
Where do you find all these products I've never heard of?
Why get in a life cycle workout? We can work out by just getting from point A to point B.
I know, but when you say the world is my gym,
I know.
I want to punch you.
Oh, you do, don't you?
Right?
Thank you.
I mean,
thank
I would
you.
Never, but I hear that come out of your mouth, and I say, no.
What did they say on The Simpsons?
But
what
all the that? Other, every other species of the world is their gym. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but they don't say it in those words.
I know.
They can't say anything. They're animals, but they're a bird, the world
tell
is.
Tell what's that thing that you said on The Simpsons they said about you?
Want
come on.
Tell us what
oh,
it was. On The Simpsons, yeah, I drive, I have this car. Everybody else is going in a bus to save the Redwoods. And in this episode of The Simpsons, I come up in a little tiny vehicle, looks like a go-kart. I have electrodes attached to my head. And I say, I'm getting there in a car. It's powered by my own sense of self-satisfaction.
There you are. In a nutshell, there's my life.
Shut up.
It's not that Ed is so much of an environmentalist. He's really just cheap.
He's just a nut job.
I think that's
cheap.
It.
He's
cheap. Are you cheap? Are you
cheap?
Oh, yeah, that's what it's all about. The bus, the bike riding.
I thought it was all about the environment.
No, I'm cheap.
Oh,
I didn't say that.
Money.
Just cheap.
I thought it was all about the... All right,
Ed, how often does Al Gore call the house and you guys just get on the phone just for hours and just talk about how cool it is to be green?
He hasn't called in a while, but I have talked. He has called the house. He's a friend of mine since he was a senator, and I like Al. He's a good guy, and I like his movie.
Ed Begley Jr., of course, on every show that we like. He's been on The West Wing. He's been on Arrested Development, Boston Legal, Scrubs, Veronica Mars, Battlestar Galactica, 6 Feet Under. He's on every single show. He's been talking about the electric car now for...
Since I was a little kid, I know that.
How long?
Well,
1970 is when I bought my first electric car. 1970.
No kidding. 1970. Were you a little upset when Al came along and stole your thunder with a freaking slideshow?
I was happy to have some friends, to have some help.
I know, you got made fun of for all those years, and then Al comes along and everybody hails him as a genius.
Well, it's a good film. I didn't say it as eloquently as he, so he deserves all the credit.
You didn't put together a slideshow.
I didn't put together a good slideshow.
He was the
good.
Vice President of the United
exactly.
States.
Oh, that's
well, there is that, too.
Hey, you know, I just thought of something, Ed, and I hope I don't have this terribly wrong. I just for some reason this just popped into my head. I think I read something on you a couple of years ago where you made a bet with somebody that you could take all of the household trash that you generated in a week and put it into the glove compartment of your car. Do I have that right?
That is correct. I was at the County Board of Supervisors. They were talking about a landfill. I said, hey, why do we need another landfill? I could fit all the trash for a week in my house into, and I thought, I went, my glove compartment. And so then about 2 hours later, Tracy Kaplan from the New York Times, LA Times, some woman just came to the door. I didn't know her. She said, hi, I'm with the LA Times. I said, I take the paper. She said, no, I'd like to see if it's true, what you just said. You were there in front of everybody.
She was following up.
She followed up. She was like, and she said, can we go through your house? I happen to know that the next day, Wednesday, is your trash pickup day, so it should be a week's worth. Can we go? I said, I'll take my lumps of praise. Let's see, Tracy. I've never done this. I just said it. Let's see. And we got all the trash from every room, and we put it and fit it in the glove compartment of a VW Rabbit, an electric VW Rabbit, which is a very small glove box.
Right.
Unbelievable.
And it fit. It all
fit. Oh, my God.
I can put all mine from a month in that little flower vase that they have.
You just plain better than me.
That's because everything that the rest of us throw away, you figure out a way to recycle, I guess, is why.
I do. What's the, and maybe this is for Rochelle, Ed, God bless him. We love Ed. You know that. He's a little out there, just a bit. What's the strangest thing that he's done? Is there something that stands out as being really just a step too far?
Oh, God, there's so many things. But the strangest, you know, I guess it's the transportation. It's not that it's terribly strange, but he gave up a trip to go to Venice. He gave up a trip. Many of these, you know, these celebrity star-studded, you know, trips.
The Paul Allen trip.
And the invitation came in this elaborate box, and I was just drooling, and he was, I am not getting on a plane, and more than likely a private plane.
Well, they said it was a private plane. They said in the invitation it was a private plane, so I knew I wasn't going to take a private jet.
Yeah, it was horrible.
I knew I wasn't going to do it.
Because it's a waste.
Because
it's
so much nicer. Once in a while, if I get to be Friday in L.A. and Saturday in New York, I can't drive my hybrid then. I get in a plane like any good soldier, and I go, and I'm happy. They serve you hot nuts. It's wonderful. You know, you get there very quickly, apparently, in a plane. Who knew?
But you turned down a trip to Venice, Italy?
Italy.
Because it said it was a private plane. And then I learned later it wasn't. It was just they chartered a big jet. It was fairly fuel efficient, as it turned out. It was a big plane that they chartered.
And everyone was miserable.
Plane.
And when he found out that, he goes, I could have gone. Because all the celebrities were
there.
Miserable.
In her mind, that was the craziest thing I ever did.
Because she wanted to go, of course.
She wanted to go to Venice.
Who? I've never been to Venice.
I took it to Venice, right here. It's much closer in my life.
Venice here is not exactly the same as Venice there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We'll go another time, honey. I'll take you in a sailboat. Yeah.
Do you really take the bus all the time?
I do.
Yeah.
I take.
Do people look at you odd because you're a celebrity and celebrities don't take buses?
They do. They say, "What are you doing on the bus?" I said, "I'm getting to North Hollywood just like you. What's the problem?" And but people are very nice. You meet people on public transportation. I take the subway a lot downtown. I take the natural gas bus down Ventura Boulevard and all over L.A. I like public transportation. It's in many cases it's better than taking my electric car because I can do as I'm doing here today. I can do the Sudoku.
Sure.
I can do the crossword while I'm taking the bus.
I'm really bad at that.
People, I saw this on your HGTV show. People come across you in the supermarket and you're selling your household cleaning products, you know, your environmentally sound products, and they think, oh, man, I thought Ed was doing well. They always think you're falling on hard times. They say, like, it's a supplemental job, right?
It happens every Sunday. I do the Studio City Farmers Market. I'm out there with my Begley's Best products, and people come up. Some of them won't even make eye contact. They're looking. I can see them whispering with their wife or children. They go, look, it's Ed. No. Keep moving. Keep moving. They're like scared that it's
poor guy. Like he's falling on hard times.
He was so good on St. Elsewhere. Now look. He's selling stuff.
And then he'll want to go to take a break and go to the restroom or something. And he'll leave me at the booth. Booth. Mm-hmm. And I'm mortified. I just keep my head down and I pray no one comes over. It's just
you don't
want to
get recognized.
No,
you so need her. It's so good that you married her.
She balances me out. It's a yin and yang.
Yeah. And I made up my mind during the commercials that I'm going to get a Hummer because I think with as much energy as you save, I can do whatever I want and it'll balance everything out.
That's right, Kevin. The universe is in perfect order.
That's how you want us to think, right?
Exactly.
Okay, good.
Well, the show is very funny. You've seen a little bit of how they get along here on this program this morning, but you got to see it on TV because it's hilarious. It's called Living with Ed. New episodes air Sunday night at 10 on HGTV. And I think they replay it maybe a couple of times throughout the week.
They do.
And, of course, Veronica Mars, what are we on now? Is it Wednesday nights at 9? Is that right?
I think it is, and I'm doing Boston Legal. That's on Tuesdays, and I'm doing CSI Miami this week. I've been working like crazy.
Wow.
It's great.
Are you a pain in the ass on the set? Do you tell them, hey, stop rolling the camera. You're wasting energy.
No, but I've had problems over the years. I was at a movie Pagemaster years ago and other shows. They came up. I'm so sorry. We're going to work it out. Please don't storm off the set. What are you talking about? They couldn't get an electric station wagon for this movie. And they thought, I said, there's no such thing as an electric station wagon. I could roll it down the hill. You want me? There was a scene where I was supposed to get in the car and just drive down a little driveway. Uh-huh. I said, we don't even have to turn the engine on. It's okay. I'm not going to storm off the set. They think I'm some nut job,
Everybody
Kevin.
Everybody thinks you're crazy. Yes.
Tell them I'm not.
I can't tell them that in all good conscience.
No, you
for
can't.
God's sakes.
And I certainly am not.
You're out of your mind. No. And yet, out of your mind in a good way.
Yeah.
Exactly. And thank you for coming. And Rochelle,
thank
so
you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice
you are terrific
you.
On the show.
Thank
and you're
you.
Seriously, they should consider you for sainthood for what you put
I
up with
so
for 13
too,
years.
Kevin.
Some
You'll
kind
be
of canonized.
Thank
some kind
you.
Of a Nobel Peace Prize yeah. something.
She's a saint. She's a Saint Bernard
exactly.
is what she is.
10 o'clock Sunday nights, HGTV. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
You know, it's funny. I was out in the parking lot with Ed Begley Jr. and his wife. They have an electric car out there in the parking lot.
Right.
But oddly enough, a gas-powered radio.
Really?
Yeah.
That seems odd.
Yeah.
It's
about
weird.
14 gallons of gas to run the radio. That's strange.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, it's odd. You think it would just work on
1-800-520-1067 is the number for Kevin and Bean's.
What do you do, nephew?
And if you get on the air, you get a prize.
By the way, it would break Ed Begley Jr.'s heart if he knew how often Kevin takes a helicopter to rock concerts.
Yes,
turned out a private jet to Venice, Italy with Paul Allen, yet Kevin has taken
How could we not bring that up?
I did that once, and a friend asked me if I wanted to go, and I said, yes, you all would do the same thing.
Kevin took a one-man helicopter.
It wasn't a one-man.
And burned 400 gallons of diesel fuel.
We did go to Vegas first, if that's what you're asking.
A pair of lift tickets to join K-Rock this weekend at Snow Summit and Bear Mountain. Snow is now arriving at Big Bear, is what it says here. 1-800-520-1067. Hey, why don't we go to Nick in Santa Ana? We're talking about Coachella. Of course, tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10, but some people have already gotten them because they were members of the K-Rock street team. Nick, is that the case? Is that how you got yours already?
Yes, it is. What it do, nephews?
Well, what it do, nephew?
What it do, niece? Yes, Kevin.
Yes.
If you do anything to break up rage before Coachella,
you're
going to have 6'6", 300 pounds of pissed off coming your way.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, listen to me for
Go
the last
get him,
time.
Nick.
Listen to me for the last time. Zach left the band. I came in and reported
on that after
it happened, but before anybody else knew it. So you guys blame them breaking up on me like I have any power over that.
Absolutely.
Yes, you're right, Nick.
100%. I cannot wait for Sunday's Coachella because of Rage. It's my favorite band.
That's great, but I need you to stay 500 miles away from them at all times.
But I don't
mind.
I'll stay in the back. I'll stay a ways back, but 500 miles, I don't think I'll be able to hear.
Aren't you guys going to have like a webcam cast or something?
Yeah, watch on the computer.
No, I want to be there.
You can watch
Nick. Thank you for the call. Believe me, we're doing everything we can to keep him away from anyone who even owns a Rage Against the Machine record. Kevin's not allowed to talk to between now and the end of April,
I
right?
I did nothing but report what had already happened.
Hey, Kevin, if the season ended today, you'd be a fag.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let's go to Wendy in Glendale. Good morning, Wendy.
What it do, nephew?
Well, what it do, nephew?
What it do, baby boo?
Hey, Wendy.
So I was up this morning listening to some Journey,
Woo!
Don't Stop Believin', and I'm wondering when is the next Kevin and Bean Party Machine?
Well, I got to tell you, the Party Machine is a sore spot for us.
It's off the tracks.
Well, what happened is we used to do a show called The Kevin and Bean Party Machine, and we would play anything we felt like playing, from funky music to dance music to TV theme songs. It was just the most bizarre thing. Yeah,
but, hair metal.
But then the management got involved, and they said, let's not take it quite so far. Why don't you work like every other song can be an old K-Rock song?
Right.
And it was awful. It was just completely ruined.
And then it became every fourth song could be of your choice, but the rest has to be K-Rock music.
And then we just said, yeah, you know what? If we can't do the Kevin and Bean Party Machine like it's supposed to be done, we're not going to do it.
Yeah, damn the man.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
I mean, the way we looked at it, and Kevin did a good job of explaining, but it's like, why play All Apologies by Nirvana, which is a great song, but you're going to hear it the whole rest of the week, when you can play That Funky Music by Wild Cherry? I mean, that's what the Party Machine is all about, and they really weren't sharing our vision on how it goes.
They weren't feeling it quite like we were.
No.
That is unacceptable.
No. Well, we'll come to your house, Wendy.
Some kind of a singles party, maybe, where we can do that then.
We'll come to your house in Glendale tomorrow night, and we'll bring our records.
Perfect.
Records.
The Party Patrol.
The Party Patrol.
We'll show up.
We used to do that in Phoenix. That was awesome. All right, let's go to Mike in Long Beach. Good morning, Mike.
What it do, Matthew?
What it do?
Lisa May.
Hello, Mike.
What's going on?
I just saw this gnarly mole. This guy had tight pants on. And he had a streak bleach on the side of his mullet, and he had a backpack on, and there's one strap on. He's walking like he was in a hurry or something.
Yes. But the mullet was the funny part, right?
Yeah, it was like the 80s called, and they want their hair back.
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh.
We used to do the mullet police. We used to call people, but we found out that they're not at all worried that people don't like it. They love it, and that's all that matters. We try to talk them out of it. We were unable to. All right, let's go to Besaby in Fullerton. I'm sure I'm not saying that right. How do you say your name, please?
It's Besaby.
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 This call is because donuts aren't bad enough for you now. Donuts, which are just pure bad.
Right.
Taste good.
Do they finally have the tobacco donuts I've been praying for?
They finally upgraded the donuts to make them even worse for you.
Yeah, so I was listening, and I heard that this guy from Germany, so on top of, you know, 50 billion energy drinks and all this coffee, he's coming out with a caffeinated donut.
Donuts with caffeine.
Perfect.
Sounds awesome.
You don't have to get the cup of coffee to go with it. Just eat the donut.
Counteracts the sugar that puts you to sleep.
Yeah.
In the donut.
Now people are going to drink their coffee, and then on top of coffee, they're going to have the donut, which is equivalent to about 2 cups of coffee, I heard.
Then you don't eat the donut, and you got a headache all day. See the problem?
Now you
got
to tweak that all day.
I need a donut that tastes good but makes you lose weight. How come they
that
can't
would
do
be
that?
Good.
Exactly.
Is that asking too much?
A crack donut. That's what you want. Hey, speaking of this topic, Ralph, did you happen to notice the story yesterday about the new, they think, breakthrough to help people stop smoking? Did you see that story?
Yeah, stroke victims stop smoking.
Yes.
As long as you have a stroke, you're in good shape. You can quit smoking.
They had these stroke victims who, in their recovery, forgot that they were smokers, did not have any of the craving, and they think they've identified the part of the body that has, the part of the brain, I should say, that has to do with the addiction to nicotine. And they think now maybe this could be what they've been looking for to kind of unlock. If they could give you something that would make you just turn off your desire to get the nicotine, it would be fantastic.
Do they give you something that gives you a stroke? Is that how you have to get into
it?
Well, I don't
know.
They force you to have a stroke, and then you don't want to smoke anymore because you go, I don't want cigarettes anymore.
You never see Kirk Douglas stroking. You never see Dick Clark smoking. I mean, seriously.
It's also the same chemical that controls your desire for sugary foods, too.
Right.
So they're
it's
like really into this.
Nicotine.
The ischula is the part of the brain that was stricken by the stroke.
I just read it.
All right, let's go to...
Some things stick in people's minds.
Not me. Greg and Corona, good morning.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, yeah, the greatest holiday ever is coming up, February 20th, National Pancake Day.
February
20th. Free pancakes at IHOP all day.
You're calling us 3 weeks out for a pancake day?
Well, I was already eating my pancakes this morning, and I got excited about it.
Okay.
Tell you guys about
but you get like one pancake, right? You don't get all you want.
The sign at IHOP says all you can eat.
Impossible.
That sounds like a deal breaker right there.
And the pancakes are caffeinated.
But they're still going to charge you for, you know, whatever else you get. Half browns, bacon, eggs, you know, everything else they're probably still going to charge you.
That's why you just go get pancakes and water.
Oh, you so have this wired, Greg.
You're a good time. You are. You're quite the catch.
You're too excited
pancakes
about that.
Are my second favorite food in the world, so I'm very excited to hear that news.
Monday is Bubble Wrap Appreciation Day.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
I didn't realize that. Maybe
we could celebrate with some bubble wrap.
I like
Monday.
It. Charles in Anaheim, good morning.
Yeah, what it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew? Tell us about the best story ever.
First of all, what it do, baby boo, hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Yeah, anyway, last night I was watching Wheel of Fortune, and there was a midget on there. And see, the guy was so short, his fiance was there, and she's a normal-sized woman. She had to spin the wheel for him.
Because he couldn't reach the wheel.
No, he couldn't reach the wheel. He could stand there, but he couldn't really reach it.
Did she ever just pick him up and, like, hold on to his feet, and then he'd lean over and spin it?
Nah, she was just doing all the spinning for him.
Yeah.
But he took a ride on the wheel, right? They put him on there, and he just took a ride on it?
Nah, like a Ferris wheel. He was just standing there.
Listen, midgets are all good.
Yeah, and
that's it.
And on top of that, he beat everybody and got to the final spin, and then you know how you got to guess that final puzzle?
You're right.
He just said, and he won $30,000.
No kidding.
The midget kicked ass.
Wow.
That's a lot of money for a midget. That's full-size cash he wins, you know.
That's an ass-kicking midget.
But the
midget
puzzle answer was Wizard of Oz. They all know that one immediately.
That's their favorite movie.
By the way, ass-kicking midget is opening up Coachella. I just found that out a second ago.
You know, I don't mean to be negative in any way, but a little person, little brain.
Well, apparently not on Wheel of Fortune.
That's
true.
That's not right.
I want to thank all of our terrific guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. You could almost tell Lightning wasn't here today because we were just jam-packed, wall-to-wall with people to talk to. Actor Columbus Short, currently seen in Stomp the Yard in theaters now. He claims he also plays Darius on Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip Monday nights at 10 on NBC, but that can't be the same guy, right?
No, absolutely.
All right. Thanks to Jeremy Piven for joining us. Smoking Aces is the name of the movie. It opens up everywhere today. Entourage returns on HBO Sunday night, April 8th. Also, thanks to actress and comedian Sarah Silverman. Her new show, Very Funny Stuff, is called The Sarah Silverman Program. It debuts next Thursday night, February 1st at 10:30 on Comedy Central. And Ed Begley and Rochelle Carson, his lovely bride. Living with Ed is the show Sunday night at 10 on HGTV.
I noticed that she didn't change the name to Begley.
No.
No, she's not sold on the whole marriage
right
thing yet.
Rightfully so.
She's not quite sure.
Monday morning, we've got an all-new show for you. We've got LaQuisha on part two of Trading Spouses.
Ah, yes.
Which is on tonight.
Marguerite Perrin, the God Warrior, is
Crazy woman.
Dealing with some militant black issues.
Love that. So that's awesome. That's Monday. People in New Jersey apparently are eating radioactive squirrels.
Oh, my God.
So we might need to make a few phone calls.
They're asking them to eat less squirrel. That's for sure. That much is true.
Stop eating squirrels.
Well, that's not. Just cut back. Because too much squirrel apparently is bad for you.
We also have K-Rock's World Tour 2007, destination number 5. We'll tell you about that at 7:15. And you're not going to believe this, but unless you've seen the promos for it, but Bam Margera is A, getting married,
And B, they're doing a TV show on MTV called Unholy Union.
Oh, no.
The things they do to this poor girl
is
spectacular. And we're going to talk to Bam Margera on Monday Morning Show.
That's not right.
Bam, you're getting married, right? That's your...
I'm really excited about getting married.
Thank you. Dick Cheney's getting married?
I thought it was the guy from Caddyshack. Is who I thought we were here.
Right, Carl, you got that going for me.
Yeah.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Hello, Mr. Gopher. We're getting married.
Pass it over to me.
Don't mind that doctor's orders.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Come on, dude. Just take one hit.
Roll another one.
Don't you want to be
just like the other one? This what seems to be about women. And I need another hit.
I know what God's name is wrong with you.
That would really hurt.
Well, stop doing it.
Kat Corbett is up next. 40 minutes nonstop. K-Rock, Green Day, Snow Patrol, Chili Peppers, and more. Have a great weekend.
Roll, 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 another one.
Smoke weed.
Just like the other one.
Marijuana's bad.
This one seems to be a mountain. And I don't have another sin.
Why do you smoke marijuana?
It's really very simple. I smoke it because I enjoy it.
So I got that going, which is nice.
And that is all.
So this has been very amusing. I wish you all the best in your life, and now I'm done.
And that was a disgraceful performance. In my opinion, that sucked.
Tell the president I'm sorry. I can't do this anymore.
The hell you can't. We're going to find that suitcase nuke because of you, Jack. You've done great work today.
Good, then you don't need me anymore.
I'll send a car for you, Jack. Come back here. We'll talk.
I'm done.
See you guys. Seacrest out. Bye-bye.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.